Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling, OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The Beast, the Man.
You gotta be the Man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God!
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
877-588-9877, option one. Welcome to another episode of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by Wild Talk Radio, WTR Productions, and of course, my bosses, Brad Dykens and Jason Deadrich at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. If you're going, why the heck is he playing Lady Gaga? Tonight is dance party night in honor of one of our two guests for the evening. You may know him as a member of the Backseat Boys with the late Trent Acid. If you're attending the Shane Shamrock Cup this weekend in Maryland, you're actually going to know him as part of a tag team known as Vanilla Man Candy. Mr. Gay Philadelphia, Johnny Casimir, will be joining us at 10 p.m. However, we do have the very straight-edge person. If you listen to Monday Night Mayhem, he contributes for them on the WWE pay-per-views. I know him as one of my groomsmen from my wedding last October. And former WCW personality, the one and only Scott Hudson, is joining us tonight. Good evening, sir.
Alan, thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you for being here with us. We're going to break down in the first hour of this show. Tonight we're going to talk Monday Night Raw, SmackDown. I'm probably the only one that talks Florida Championship Wrestling. Hey, living in Florida, I get the benefit of the doubt. I get the cable outlet to watch it. We'll talk all the fun stuff that's been going on in TNA Impact, including the new name for the ECW kids that have come in. We'll talk Lucha Libre USA because they're going to be involved in our show next week. And we'll also get to some indie news involving Bryan Danielson, involving Jimmy Rave. And I want to thank everyone. If you're listening to this podcast and you went out to Coastal Championship Wrestling this past week in Miami, or you went to Wrestling for a Cause's event in Tampa, Florida, they raised some good money for a Little League baseball team. We are going to go right into the Monday Night Raw situation, where last week's show ended with this great, fantastic setup of 7-on-7 at SummerSlam, and it's going to be Bret Hart coming back. I guess his insurance company said, okay, fine, you're going to be in there with six other guys. We'll let you go play. If you watched Monday Night Raw last night, already there's cracks in the foundation, and we're not even to SummerSlam yet, and that's August 15th. It's Cena, Edge, John Morrison, Ron the Truth Killings. I know he's R-Truth. It's Ron Killings. the Great Khali, Chris Jericho, and Bret Hart taking on the seven members of the Nexus. Darren Young and his wonderful hairstyle have made it back into play. They proved last night, Scott, that they can take out mid-level talent such as the Hart Dynasty, Goldust, Yoshitatsu, Evan Bourne, Jerry the King Lawler putting down the microphone, and Mark Henry. Are you impressed that they took out these seven guys, Scott, and listeners, or are you just going, that's really nice you did that, now let's see you do it on the pay-per-view in August?
Good question, and the answer, at least in my opinion, Alan, is that we still have a couple of weeks until the SummerSlam pay-per-view, and they beat, you're right, with all due respect to the King, the mid-card talent on Raw last night. They will throw them against the big talent, I'm assuming, next week or the week after as we head in to SummerSlam and lose. They will be left laying. They will run like cowards after losing the match. Something will happen for the upper echelon guys to get their heat back. And then come pay-per-view time, let me put it this way, there's a reason Great Khali is on that team. And, you know, he's 15 foot tall, and he's on the A-list talent, even though he's a D-list talent in the WWE. And that's because he's going under at the pay-per-view. And that's what I think will happen. They beat the mid-level guys last night. They will go under next week, maybe and or definitely or the week after, leading into the pay-per-view. Nexus comes out on top at SummerSlam.
And the next Monday Night Raw, believe it or not, is already in the can. They taped it. We're spoiler-free on here, but you can go on the OWW Genesis board through onlineworldofwrestling.com to get all that fun information. On the SmackDown side of town, we found out, thanks to Dolph Ziggler, first off, everybody remembers, this is a no chopping zone on Online World of Wrestling Radio. We've been banned from chopping people on this show, just as the WWE stars have been banned. According to Dolph Ziggler, WWE has placed a ban on the talent wearing gloves. Here's what he said on his Twitter account. When someone asked him why he no longer wears gloves, he said to the person, "I don't wear gloves anymore. They've been banned from ringside. Hopefully we can at least high five." My question to everybody who emailed me immediately when somebody posted this, and next thing I know, I started getting emails, they said, "That's great. What happens at SummerSlam when The Undertaker comes back with his MMA gloves? Are they going to look at Taker Scott and go, all right, fine, you've been here long enough, you get the gloves. The rest of you, no gloves."
You just staggered into the real reason. And I don't know that it's Undertaker, but somebody at the upper level is going to be wearing gloves, Triple H, when he comes back. And that's why. They never do anything like that, with the exception of what they did to Bryan Danielson, without thinking in the long view. And that's my opinion, that's all it is that's what's going on. Somebody's going to make a glove a major aspect of their character, of their gimmick, or at least their finish, and they don't want to, you know, stooge it off by having somebody else using it.
Does this have to do anything at all with a lot of I know the mixed martial arts guys wear gloves. Is this Vince going, yeah, I don't want you guys being confused, even though there's no way to confuse Dana White's UFC guys with the WWE people? Could that be it, or is it what you just said? Is there the possibility of Taker coming back, being the one glove guy, or, like you said, Triple H? Which do you think it could be?
It's both. It's Vince. Vince is not stupid. God, Vince is the smartest guy in the world when it comes to this sort of thing, especially promotion and branding and character development. And he sees that mixed martial arts is getting over almost exponentially every month. So what's getting them over? Obviously, he can't have shoot fights in the WWE. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But everything else that they bring to the marketing table, to the gimmick table, not literally, but figuratively, he's going to try and take. And if wearing gloves does it, he's going to hold that back and keep it in his hip pocket and give it to somebody he wants to push. It may not be Hunter. It might be, you know, hell, who knows, The Miz, Ron Killings, somebody is going to come out wearing gloves, and it's going to be part of the gimmick. And if Ziggler is saying that I've been told I can't wear gloves, then obviously it's not him. It's going to be somebody else.
You mentioned Triple H. Wrestling Observer and other sites are reporting that he had undergone surgery for the torn bicep, and the current belief is that he may not even be back till at least December. They apparently wanted him back for SummerSlam. Then they're saying, no, it'll be October. Nonetheless, this is a real awkward one, and I don't know how the chat room, if you're on wildtalkradio.com or if you're on owwradio.com, this has been debated about a little bit, that the WWE writers, who we'll get into in a second, are still debating turning him heel and aligning him with the Nexus group. For show of hands in the room, does anybody remember the last time Triple H was near a bunch of rookies? You in the back? Yeah, that would be the Spirit Squad, which included Dolph Ziggler under his other name of Nick Nemeth. Are you buying this idea, Scott, if creative is pitching it going, we got a plan, who should be leading these guys? Yeah, Triple H will totally be leading the Nexus. I don't buy it.
Let me show my age, which I make no bones about it. I'm almost 46 years old, and throw yourself back, if you're old enough or if you have enough knowledge of wrestling history, to the 1980s, when Dusty Rhodes, whom I love and respect dearly, was Booker in the NWA and WCW. Anybody that got over, he immediately glommed onto. If it were the Roadies for a year and a half, if they were feuding with the Midnight Express, boom, Dusty's in there literally with face paint. If it were Nikita Koloff, who got over like gangbusters in 86, boom, we have the superpowers. He turns Nikita babyface because Dusty's never going heel, and boom, there he is. What we're seeing is, you know, the 25-year later version of that type of booking, where those in power, those at the very top and at the very top of the very top, glom on to what's the most over. And obviously Nexus right now is the most over new thing in the WWE. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Hunter latches himself on to Nexus. Now, my prediction is no way. Hunter, I think, is smart enough, I know he's smart enough, and has enough pride in his work not to be want to seem that way. He doesn't think he needs to, and in my opinion, he doesn't need to glom on to something else, to be a bandwagon jumper in the WWE. He knows he can just stay over because he's Triple H. No, it's not going to be Hunter.
No, well, unfortunately, he's minus one person, because if you also remember back to WrestleMania, his running buddy Shawn Michaels is gone, and this has been reported on other sites, including OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, that Shawn Michaels is apparently a no-no in WWE promoting of any kind. I'm really trying to understand this one. They do not want help. I don't know if it's his agents, his people, whoever, if it's God himself, who's still mad at Vince for booking him in a match and probably not paying him, doesn't want Shawn Michaels marketed anymore after those believe he is 100% through with professional wrestling and has no desire to return as a wrestler, an on-screen character, or agent. Now, I think that's admirable on Shawn Michaels, but Scott, you've been in the business long enough. You've seen Terry Funk retire and unretire more times than Elizabeth Taylor's been married. You've saw Ric Flair at WrestleMania 25, and now he's back. Are you, as someone who's been in the business, are you buying this that Shawn Michaels is 100,000% done with wrestling?
Well, first, let me put a couple of caveats. One, I take backseat to no one when it comes to Shawn Michaels. Whenever I do interviews, I do, you know, email interviews, Shawn Michaels is my guy, my all-time favorite character, wrestler, performer, interview, whatever. Shawn Michaels is my guy. Second, I don't know him. I've never met him even one time in my, you know,
wow,
career that I had. I don't know the guy. But I will say this, from the people that I trust, Shawn Michaels isn't cut from the same cloth as Terry Funk or Ric Flair or Wahoo McDaniel, to take it back another generation, as someone who keeps saying he's done with the sport and will just show up just this one time, and that just this one time usually ends up being around 4 bookings a week. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think Shawn Michaels, based on what I know, which I don't know Shawn personally, I wish I did, I don't think that's the way he's cut. If Shawn Michaels says he's done, I would take that to mean we can expect to see Shawn Michaels no more than 2 times a year. Done mm-hmm. officially, forever, we'll never see him again? No way. You know as well as I do, Alan, nobody walks away from this sport and stays away forever. Nobody. Some people do it and just really don't aim for the limelight, like Ricky Steamboat or even Bret Hart, for that matter. But Shawn will be in that same strata, I think, as Steamboat and Bret. Yeah, he's done. He'll come back if he wants to, if the storyline's right. Otherwise, no, he's not. He doesn't miss it. I think he saved his money. He's a smart guy, from what I hear. So yeah, he's not done forever. No one ever is. But he's not going to make comeback after comeback. Remember, Terry Funk's first retirement tour was in '82, and he's probably working this weekend somewhere.
Wow. 877-588-9877. Option 1 is the way to join us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Alan Wojcik with Scott Hudson. We also have folks in the Wild Talk Radio chat room that wanted to ask a couple questions. Jersey Girl would like to know, what do you think, who do you think is the new Raw general manager other than a salesman for Apple Computers? And what do you think is the next catchphrase that we hear out of the anonymous GM next? We've heard the DX one. We heard a Roddy Piper one. We heard Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm sure you've been asked this whenever you're on other people's shows and whatever you're traveling around the country. Who is it? Is it going to be Vince? Is it going to be, is it you? I mean, I know I talk to you a lot, but is it you?
It's not me. If it's me, I don't know about it. And I can promise you right now, it won't be me, even if I do know about it. That I can assure you. Like, first off, good call, Jersey Girl, on that one. Secondly, my answer, and taking it seriously, I don't think they know. Usually when you see a promotion like WCW back in the day, rest in peace, or the WWE or TNA, when they do something like this and they keep dropping hints, the truth is, they don't know. Chalk it up to this. If you ever watch soap operas, one of the tenets of, the afternoon soap opera writing style is to put, MacGuffins in the writing. You don't know what it means. It's gonna pay off later. And sometimes it just doesn't pay off. You never know. It's kinda like what was shining up from the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. They never stooged mm-hmm. that off. They just left right. you wondering. It might be something like that. I would bet dollars to donuts that as we sit here tonight, they don't know. Now, will it end up being someone that we do know? Will it end up being The Rock to come back for a 3-week program to build up to, a pay-per-view? Who knows? Or will it just be a MacGuffin and it will eventually just go away? I don't know. But the one guarantee I can make, Jersey Girl, for the question, they don't know. Right now, I guarantee you, put a gun to their head, they couldn't tell you who it is.
Well, we don't. We know it's not Joey Mercury because he's finally been unmasked as the Straight Edge Society's stooge, if you want to call them that. And I believe he's also sporting the CM Punk Memorial bald spot. I think it's a nice tribute to you, actually, because you do have one of the greatest hairstyles in wrestling.
Well, I'm afraid that maybe when my wife convinced me, my darling and patient, beautiful wife convinced me, God, 15 years ago, that I needed to just go ahead and shave it because I wasn't fooling anyone that I had any hair anymore. Back then it was kind of like, wow, that's quite a risk. And now it's, God, everybody does it, so I'll take full credit for being ahead of the curve on that one. I'll give it to my wife.
Excellent. If you're a fan of our Wednesday night programming, the Otaku Talk gentlemen, they do geek talk and comics and everything. They're going to talk the heck out of what I'm going to mention, and that's Comic-Con that happened in San Diego over the next couple weeks. WWE actually had some folks there. The Macho Man showed up to introduce his new action figure. But this is the thing that I wanted to address, and it's one of the perfect reasons why Scott is actually here with us tonight. Because of Scott having worked for WCW and was involved in seeing their creative process done 2 minutes before they went on the air, WWE's head writers, Ed Koski and Brian Giewertz, I think is the way it's pronounced, judging by the way it's spelled, Sean Oliver loves making fun of this guy on the Kayfabe Commentaries DVDs, apparently answered several questions on the writing process during an appearance at Comic-Con that The Miz was also a part of. They addressed the lost art of male managers in the business, the treatment of diva matches on Raw and SmackDown, and how they actually construct Monday Night Raw. Now, I'm not old enough to remember the legendary Eddie Graham here in Florida. You were old enough a little bit, Scott, to remember Ole Anderson running Georgia Championship Wrestling and Gordon Soley being around and all the territorial days. Isn't there a territorial graveyard that's, like, ready to drop dead right now? Because obviously kayfabe is dead. And if you ask Bob Ryder, who's got a book coming soon, he'll tell you he was involved in it too. Does this bother you as someone who's been in the business this long that WWE had two writers in front of a bunch of comic book guys going, yeah, not only is it fake, but here's how we write it?
No, that doesn't bother me at all. Keep in mind, you know, Alan, I know you remember this. As younger as you are than I, you were old enough to remember this. Back in the mid-90s, when Vince McMahon, under oath, admitted that it was a work. For lack of a better term, he did. That wasn't the quote he used, but he went into explicit detail in a trial that it was a work. When that happened, that was not news to most of us, but to the general public, that was incredible news.
I think he did it to get out of the athletic commissions. I think he did it. I know in Jersey he did it. When I was living in New York as a kid, I remember him do it. My dad had told me he did it to get out of being under the arm of a lot of the athletic commissions. I know in Kentucky there's one that's really vicious, that if you even bleed in their ring, you have to be out of the ring inside of 30 seconds flat. So, I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish your point. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. You're exactly right. But again, that was, you know, what, 1995, 94 maybe?
He did it a while back, yeah.
I mean, it's not news. So no, you know, the writers being at Comic-Con and shooting off things like that, I wish I'd been there. It would have been terribly interesting to hear, some of that. I'm sure they wouldn't have, you know, answered the questions I wanted to ask, because, you know, well, why is The Miz still being pushed? But it's neither here nor there, but no, that doesn't surprise me. It doesn't bother me. You know, when Vince killed the territories in the 1980s, anyone that had been in the business, even at the periphery as I was back then, you know, you knew. You could see the writing on the wall. It was over. It was like the AFL in the 1960s. When the merger happened, everyone knew that the AFL was just going to become part of the NFL. It wasn't going to become, it wasn't a merger. It was a takeover. It was, you know, much like we've seen with the banking industry of late. You know, these aren't mergers. These are just out-and-out takeovers. When Vince merged with territories in the 80s, they weren't mergers. They were out-and-out takeovers. We saw the seismic shift in the business paradigm of professional wrestling. And to a degree, here 25 years later, we're still seeing those tectonic plates, as it were, shifting and trying to settle into stability. And right now, Vince is still feeling that shift. He's trying to, again, 25 years later, you know, steady the ship. Because it's been 9 years plus since the buyout of WCW and ECW. He's still trying to get his sea legs under him out there. And this type of stuff doesn't surprise me at all, doesn't bother me.
We mentioned that we were going to mention some stuff about the Florida Championship Wrestling. Their TV is obviously about 3 weeks behind schedule. And if you watch it here in Florida on Bright House Networks, you'll see the reason that a couple weeks ago on NXT, Alex Riley bled like somebody hooked him with a fishing line. It was because Caval, in a match on FCW TV, during they were having a 15-minute time limit, Caval had to beat Alex Riley. He drop-kicked Riley so hard into the guardrail and his back of his head split open. So if you can find that online, you're probably going to sit there going, ugh. There are two new people that are heading to FCW. One of them you may know if you're a fan of Ohio Valley Wrestling, and that is Brent Beef Wellington. He actually made the announcement himself this past Wednesday at the OVW tapings. And if you were a fan of Consequences Creed in TNA Wrestling, he's also worked on the indie scene as Austin Creed. Well, Platinum Championship Wrestling is announcing for all to know that Austin Creed is now a WWE developmental star, and he'll be joining the FCW roster. Before we get into the TNA stuff, have you seen Consequences at all, Scott? And do you think he's going to fit somewhere in the Cruiserweight, or where would he fit? Which roster would you eventually like to see him on, Raw or SmackDown?
Wow, that's a good question. And with all due respect to Consequences Creed, I think he's about 5 to 6 inches in height away from being a superstar in the sport, but unfortunately those 5 or 6 inches is going to leave him down in the the Taka Michinoku level of push, if that, in the WWE. But in the ring, the guy's talented, he's obviously in shape, he's a tremendous athlete. I saw him up in Cornelia, Georgia with NWA Anarchy for a few years with my good friend Stephen Praza, who in doing the play-by-play along with Dan Wilson. And, so I've seen that guy for a long time, and when he got the break in TNA, I was there that night at the Gwinnett Arena, just north of Atlanta, when he was a fill-in on the pay-per-view that they did in Gwinnett County. And, he's a terrific talent, a great guy, a student of the sport, and a great athlete, but again, 5 to 6 inches away from being a superstar, and that, as you know, 5 inches is 10 miles.
Unless you're wearing a mask and your name's Rey Mysterio.
I didn't say that. See, okay. There you go.
I'll say it. Unless you're, if you're a mask wrestler, don't sign with the company, because Dos Caras Jr. got unmasked. He's the guy you're seeing in all them promos for Alberto Del Rio. I keep waiting for Robin Leach back in the 80s with Ted DiBiase to come walking in and do a promo of some kind on him. But we're going to head and take a quick break here in Online World of Wrestling Radio. If you are joining us in the 10 o'clock hour, we will unfortunately lose Scott Hudson, but we will gain the former member of the Backseat Boys, his new interesting attire. His new name is Mr. Gay Philadelphia. Johnny Casimir will join us here on the show. Don't be afraid to dial in 877-588-9877, option 1. You can also join us at wildtalkradio.com or owradio.com. They have chat rooms. Coming up after the break, we will talk TNA Wrestling. Some of the folks in the chat room already had questions lined up for Scott revolving around TNA Wrestling. We will talk about the brand new named pay-per-view, Hardcore Justice, The Last Stand. Welcome to DJ Casimir Night on OWW Radio. We'll be back in a minute.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away. with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling columns today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Bret Derry.
Candice LaSalle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site that throws you. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
A moment you won't forget. Don't miss out. Tweet your friends right on their wall. Spread the word for a can't-miss moment.
Yes, I'm glad Rock's recording because this will be probably one of the only times you'll ever hear me say that I was actually impressed by Mr. Anderson tonight. He did very well. They set up the Jeff Hardy splash in the corner thing, and at the last possible second, Anderson gets up, grabs Hardy in a power slam, dropped him down for a quick two count, and I was impressed, sir.
Join Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com. If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VOLiners.com.
VOLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network. Kim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Greetings, loved one. Let's take a journey.
I know a place where the grass is really greener. Warm, wet, and wild. There must be something in the water.
This playlist tonight was approved by Mr. Gabe Philadelphia. Johnny Casimir will be joining us at 10 o'clock. Welcome back to DJ Casimir Night on Online World of Wrestling Radio. 877-588-9877. Option 1 is the way to join us here on the show, where you can do like a lot of the folks have been doing. Get in our chat room at wildtalkradio.com or owwradio.com. They've been wanting to ask a whole bunch of stuff involving TNA wrestling. Scott Hudson is still here with us. He contributes on the Monday Night Mayhem show on other networks. Joining us also is one of our resident TNA contributors. He braved it, taking on everybody on Sunday night, and I apologize to Tim Stein that I didn't bother to turn my computer on from 7 o'clock till about midnight. I got this message going, we're like everybody short tonight. Can you please come on the show? Joining us from WrestleTalk Radio, the man from down under, Mace, is here to talk TNA wrestling. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Alan, and greetings to you, Scott.
Same to you, babe.
Alright, yes. The big question,
Alan,
before
we start jumping in, I want to ask this of Scott. I don't know how good your memory would be of this. I actually have on DVD a small event that went on down here in Australia called International Assault, where you did commentary on the DVD with Jeremy Borash.
Uh-huh.
I made a comment to Jeremy Borash on Twitter about the event. He sent me a message saying, "Oh my God, I remember that. That was absolutely horrible." do you have the same experience with that event, sir?
Well, I wasn't there. We did the VO post back in the States, and you know, I don't know if Jeremy's talking about the experience VOing the show or voicing over the show. That's what he was talking about?
Yes.
Or the show?
I'm guessing it would be either doing the VO for the show or actually having to watch the show.
Oh, I don't know.
VOing
of the show, we had like a cooler full of, two coolers full of adult beverage and, you know, like chicken wings and all kind of stuff at my house here in Atlanta, Georgia. So that was a great experience for me. I wasn't at the show. Now, granted, the show wasn't all that great, but the VO experience hanging out with Jeremy was terrific.
Was that the Andrew McManus stuff?
Yes.
That Jeff Jarrett wish never existed. It was part of the summer of nothing, as they like to call it. This summer's turned into a lot of not nothing if you're a fan of TNA wrestling, and that's because of they're now apparently branded, according to some folks that were at last night's Impact taping. This is the only spoiler note we will give. If you want to check that out, you can go on OWW Genesis. All the stuff's posted there. They have changed the name on the, I can legally say it because I'm not, yeah, they're called ECW people, okay? They worked for ECW, but unfortunately the big boss in Connecticut said, no, can't call them that. You need something snappy, something peppy. These cats are now being called EV 2.0. Yeah, the .com stuff busted a long time ago, guys. Maverick already in our chat room, who hosts a show on this same network called Running the Ropes, wanted to know, do you think that the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view, and this is to both gentlemen, that's now been rechristened The Last Stand, is more like a punishment to the TNA roster since Dixie told them to get their acts together not too long ago, and will putting this tribute show on for a third time help or hurt the morale of TNA stars? I want to ask Scott about that first, because WCW kind of was the first company to steal a lot of the ECW talent, but don't ask Eric Bischoff that. Eric will say, no, I didn't steal them. They wanted to come and make money.
Sure. Well, that's true. There's no question about that. But one more time with the question, Alan. You hit me with that. Anything I hear Eric Bischoff, I immediately go to that. What was the question?
Apparently a few weeks ago, Dixie Carter called out all of the TNA talent in another pre-show thing, and Maverick wanted to know, do you feel, and I'm also going to ask Mace this, do you feel that the changing Hard Justice into Hardcore Justice is a punishment to the roster for them apparently not getting their act together, and do you feel that this ECW tribute show helps or hurts the morale of TNA superstars?
I'll answer that with this, Alan. Nothing could hurt the morale of the guys down there worse than what happened in January of this year. When they brought in, Hulk and everybody else and the Nasties and Eric, I think that a lot of the TNA talent that had been there since you and I were both in Nashville years ago, that really cut the legs out of the morale of a lot of the talent at TNA. Doing the ECW or EV 2.0 angle and hardcore justice, that has a negligible impact, if any, at this point, but especially in comparison to what happened in January.
Your thoughts on this, Mace? Because I know Spug had been on here last week, and he was a kind of a fan of the ECW product, and it's no surprise to anybody that everybody thinks like, oh, you're from New York, you must have loved ECW. No, I hated every second of it. So if you want to defend this, Mace, you can, or if you want to bash along with me, what are your thoughts on this whole idea that this heartwarming promo that Tommy Dreamer did about, she's the only one that'll give us a chance to go out on top in the right way. Do you think this is what was brought up in the chat room, that this is a punishment for the TNA stars? Or is this Dixie trying to spike Dixie, Jeff, Vince Russo, whoever, trying to spike the TNA pay-per-view ratings and hope that they'll attract the ECW audience and keep them?
Well, to be honest with you, I just feel this is one of those retro things. Like, if you remember, a few years ago, it was the big thing of bringing back the 80s style, bringing back 80s cartoons, bringing back 80s stars. Now, all of a sudden, we have the Expendables coming out of the movie, which has got so much testosterone, it should be banned. And now we've got ECW coming back on pay-per-view for one night only. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm happy to see this happen. I think Vince's whole WWE-CW thing really destroyed the reputation, and to turn around and go, okay, yeah, we know most of you guys are pushing 40 to 50 years old, but, you know, if you're willing to go out there and destroy yourselves one night, okay, yeah, it doesn't hurt putting money in Dixie Carter's pocket, but, you know, it's going to give those guys to go out the way that they originally wanted to back in 2005. Mm-hmm. So why not just sit back and go, you know what? Hey, I'm going to crack open a couple of beers, order a pay-per-view, and pretend it's the 1990s all over again.
Apparently a lot of these guys are feeling that way. The roster that's apparently confirmed to be a part of this event involves Tommy Dreamer, if his leg will let him. He apparently injured his meniscus, and we hope he's healthy. The current TNA World Champion, Rob Van Dam, who, according to the Internet, is not going to be defending the championship that night. You also got Raven, Stevie Richards, Rhino, rumored the FBI, rumored Axel Rotten, Sabu, and Sandman were in the commercial if you see it. Balls Mahoney supposedly, Spike Dudley supposedly, Johnny Swinger, Simon Diamond, Brother Devon, Devon, whatever. Al Snow, Jerry Lynn. Here's who's not coming. Amish Roadkill said no. Said, I'm done, I'm retired, appreciate it. No Super Crazy, no Tajiri. They are booked in Japan for, I can't remember the name of the promotion. Lance Storm, whether he's gotten an invite or not, if you go to stormwrestling.com, you can see how he's booking TNA Wrestling from his couch, and we're happy he's doing it. Apparently the King of Old School, Steve Corino, has said that no, he hasn't received an invite, but he doesn't want one. Here's exactly what Dixie had said. Giving Tommy this chance is one of the easiest decisions I've ever made as TNA president. That's very creepy. For years, I've heard the fans talk about the similarities between TNA and what these guys accomplish. Tommy McKinney's superstar sacrificed everything, and not for money, but for the love of our sport and the fans. She announced that the former ECW champion has been given full creative control. That's Vince Russo in the corner having a six-pack of beer going, ah, crap. And the several former stars have been contacted. You were a part of WCW during the time where Raven came in, Stevie Richards came in, Shane Douglas came in, Bam Bam Bigelow, the late Mike Awesome came in, Scott. Just from your vantage point, can you compare the time of the way these guys are being introduced to the way that the creative did it in WCW?
The first comparison I would make is that it's 12 years later. For one thing, and the style that the ECW talent worked in 1998, 1999 does not lend itself to long-term survivability in this business, and not survivability versus dying, but survivability versus a career at that level. And if anyone thinks that Sabu and Sandman and those guys, and as much as I love and respect Raven, as a performer and a guy, even Raven to perform at the level that he did in 1998, it's going to be disappointing. The one night stand pay per view from 2005-2006, that should have been the swan song of the ECW brand. Vince, of course, smelled money, and off we go with this a portion of an ECW relaunch that they did on Sci-Fi for a while. That was awful. But I'm torn. I like those guys. I like that promotion. I like Paul Lee, and I would love to relive that. But it's been 12 years, and it's been 9 years since the promotion existed. I'll tell you a quick story, Alan and Mace, if I could. My last night, which was my third night in the WWE at the Georgia Dome here in Atlanta, when they did the beginning of the Alliance angle as part of the blow-off of the Invasion storyline, when everyone turned their back on Vince, the old ECW crowd turned their back on Vince and joined up with Paul Lee. I'm backstage at the Georgia Dome watching the end of the show, and I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with Steve Austin. And we're just watching gate mouth because none of us knew that's what was going to happen. And Austin elbows me and says, "What do you think about that right there?" And I said, "That bunch of guys you see on television went out of business once. They'll go out of business again." And he nodded his head and said, "That's exactly right." And it eventually happened. And as much as I like the guys and I want to see them succeed and want to see them make $1 million, I don't see a lot of money in that angle.
Okay, well, that's a fair point there. 877-588-9877, option one, is the way to join us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. If you want to talk with Scott Hudson about this TNA wrestling event, that'll be coming up in 2 weeks on August 8th. Is this the beginnings, possibly? Because we've heard for, I forgot how many weeks now, there's this big announcement coming from Dixie Carter, and at one point we all thought, hey, Paul Heyman's coming to save the product. That wasn't it. Then it's this whole ECW guys are coming. No, not it, kids, not it, kids. Could it possibly be this? According to Jason Powell of Pro Wrestling Net, I'm sorry if I butcher the site, he is saying that Spike TV and TNA have agreed to hold a 3-hour special next month following the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view. Now, there are apparently conflicting reports on whether the show will be taped the night after the pay-per-view or it'll be held live on the Thursday night. Either way, TNA and Spike have been negotiating for some time on doing more specials. That'll result in TNA cutting down on the number of pay-per-view events it would per year. So I guess Scott and Mace, will go to Mace first. The old WCW formula that Mike Graham, if you watched the Rise and Fall of WCW DVD, where Graham had said, you know, these Clash of Champions shows, they're stupid. You need to get rid of them. Is Eric Bischoff telling Dixie, you know what you need to do? We did these neat things in WCW called Clash of the Champions that saved us money. Are you a fan of this possibility of TNA reducing pay-per-views first to Mace, then to Scott?
Yeah, I'd definitely be a fan of them reducing pay-per-views, because if they were trying to save money, that's the first place to do it. You know, they've been saying, like, I don't have any confirmation of it, but something like 8,000 buys per TNA pay-per-view, which when you take a look at the WWE ones is like a drop in the bucket, and when you look at the UFC ones, then they might as well not exist. But yeah, definitely reducing the amount of pay-per-views would be a good way to go if they're looking to save money in this economic time.
You know, you were part of the weekly pay-per-views, and that's how we first met, Scott, for fans that are going, how do you know Scott Hudson? And we're like, that's how I know. All of a sudden, all of this I marked out. It's like, holy crap, Scott Hudson's walking over to talk to me. Could this be a turn back the clock to, because that was the original goal of TNA Wrestling. They had the weekly pay-per-views to get themselves on TV, and then once they were on TV, it was, okay, we're going to do this 3-hour pay-per-view thing. Is this turning back the clock, or is this them saying, we're going to regroup, and once Paul Heyman shows up, if he's coming, pretty please, Paul, is that the same thing here? What are you thinking when you hear something like this, that they're going to possibly reduce the pay-per-views?
I would hope not. The pay-per-views, you can say what you will about the buy rates, but think about it in these terms, Alan. If you do a pay-per-view, now granted, the expenses are much higher, but then again, the costs are about the same as doing a big show. No offense to Paul White, but to do a little B, little less big show. The 8,000 to 10,000 buy rates translates into about 15,000 paying customers at a house show. If you look at it strictly in those terms, doing one of those a month with relatively no increase in expenses, it would be nuts to cut that off. If TNA began doing pay-per-view tours like WCW did, and the WWE, where the pay-per-views are in a different city every month, yeah, that's a hell of a lot of expense. But if the pay-per-views are notoriously in Orlando, and all but a few have been, you're just basically cutting off your nose to spite your face. And I will hope that the addition of this August 12th show, whatever it turns into, if it's a Clash of the Champions-style show or something like that, would just be used to increase the pay-per-view buys and not be some sort of blow-off of the feuds and the storylines where people think they were ripped off by buying the pay-per-view Sunday night only to be sold to watch a broadcast program, you know, a fortnight later. That's not good business.
In our chat room, they've been talking about this entire event, Hardcore Justice, The Last Stand, which, God, I hope it is. It's like you did two pay-per-views already. You didn't think of buying enough here. Jersey Girl wants to know, for both gentlemen, we'll go to Scott first with this and then to Mace. Do you think that they will have someone else with Taz that is an old ECW person doing the announcing? Now, obviously, Joey Styles is a little busy with his Republican agenda and running the WWE's Internet Media, I believe his title is now. You got Mick Foley sitting here, Scott. You got all these other people. Do you think they would ask Mike Tenay, who's done every TNA event going back to day one? You know, are they going to honestly say to him, Mike, we love you, but take the night off, go to the hotel early, go to the Hard Rock, do some gambling? Do you think that they're honestly going to tell Mike Tenay to step aside and let somebody else come in and do this show, Scott?
I hope not. And first off, in answer to one of Jersey Girl's earlier questions regarding of the folks that are free to sign with TNA, she had asked that earlier in the chat room. In looking at the list of folks that are available, Jersey Girl, I want to say that obviously Mickey James is the first name that jumps off of that list, far, far ahead of everyone else. And in all honesty, with all due respect to Jimmy Wayne that I worked with in WCW, the second one is also a former diva, and that's Katie Lee Virchel. If they wanted to take some names off of that talent list that are now available, I would take Mickey James and then Katie Lee. In answer to your question, Jersey Girl and Alan, I hope they don't ask Mike to step aside. I think he's fantastic, and with Jim being on the sideline due to his health issues, Mike Tenay is easily the best announcer in wrestling. It's head and shoulders above everyone else right now. But then again, there is always Cyrus, Don Callis. He's up there somewhere, still working in Canada. I imagine he could get off of his shoot job one time to come down to work the show. I would hope so, because the guy is just fantastic. I worked with him a good bit, God, way back in the weekly pay-per-view days. I think the guy was tremendous and a very, very intelligent guy, smart fella, and worthy of another shot. So if he's available and if they want to go that route, I think, Cyrus and Taz doing the pay-per-view would be good. My first choice would be Mike and Taz. I have no problem with that announcement. I like that team a lot.
I mean, you're obviously pro ECW. Do you think the idea of them saying to the dean, to the current dean, since Jim Ross isn't doing anything, and Lance Russell's not doing anything, and unfortunately Scott's not doing anything, despite how many times I say go back to work, pretty please? Could you see TNA and Tommy Dreamer running this deal, going, "We love you, Mike, but you need to go to the casino"? And how would you feel about that?
Personally, I wouldn't mind giving Mike Tenay a night off just this one time. Probably go and get somebody along the lines of a Joel Gertner or Cyrus, as Scott suggested, or even Father James Mitchell. You know, bring him onto the desk. Bring in guys who can talk at length. Yeah, the guys who can talk at length, get them on the mic. Just bring back as much of the old ECW feel as you can muster.
It'll be interesting to see. We've been talking pay-per-view here on All Our World of Wrestling Radio, and if you were thinking, hey, TNA Wrestling can do their anniversary show for the 9th anniversary on TNA next year, hey, June 19th on a Sunday, Jeff Jarrett implied on his Twitter a while back that it could be an interesting as a date, and it is a Sunday. Well, the folks at WWE apparently monitor TNA Twitter accounts, because guess what, kids? We've got a pay-per-view booked. No, it's not Slammiversary. It's Fatal 4-Way 2011. So, could you possibly ever see a day? I know they did the Monday Night Head-to-Head, Scott. I know WWF back at Survivor Series 87, shut down Starrcade 87 by telling the cable people, you buy Starrcade, you're never going to get WrestleMania again. Any chance that could possibly happen? That TNA says, you know what, screw you. We're going to run on our night, and if you want to run head-to-head with us, we're going to do it.
Yeah, they're just that. It's not crazy, because they're not crazy, but it's somewhere between crazy and desperate. They're willing to throw anything against the wall to see if it sticks. So, yeah, it's possible. Let me throw one more name out, Alan and Mesa, if I could. Where's Joel Gertner? Has anyone heard from that guy in a while? Maybe we could bring him back.
Check the Krispy Kremes. Sorry, that's a bad joke. That's a bad joke. I apologize.
Yeah, I know he's been on, he was on your show, Mace, wasn't he, a while back? Didn't he come on Muscle Talk at one point?
No, not that I can remember. At least
oh, he was on Monday Night Mayhem. He was on Monday Night Mayhem. I'm sorry, I'm getting my shows mixed up there. Speaking of Monday Night Mayhem, it's usually, tell the people what exactly you do for Monday Night Mayhem, because unfortunately when they're on their show, I'm putting my daughter to bed and it's tub time in my house. So unfortunately I don't get to listen to Monday Night Mayhem. Hey, Abby's almost two and she books this show, so be happy that we're involved here. So tell the folks exactly what you contribute to Monday Night Mayhem as a product.
Well, I appreciate you asking me, Alan, and part of the Monday Night Mayhem WWE pay-per-view preview and review crew. I'm on there with Jim Molyneux, who was a former referee in ECW back in the day, and he and I, on the Mondays before a WWE pay-per-view and the Monday the night after a WWE pay-per-view, just preview and review the show. What worked, what didn't work, where they should go, what they might do, what they probably shouldn't do that they're going to do, that sort of stuff. Just an analytical take on WWE pay-per-view product. And I appreciate you letting me say that. The Big Mosh, John Masalonis, Todd Vincent, Jimmy Noonan, former director of security for the WWE, all great guys, very, very knowledgeable guys, and we just break down the WWE pay-per-view product. It's a good show.
All right, we're going to go ahead and let Scott go. We want to thank him very much for being with us here tonight. Hang on a sec. We'll pick you up on the other side of the break. If you want to get involved with Johnny Kazmier, in an interview sense, not another way, well, believe me, we'll get to that with Johnny, 877-588-9877, option 1. Get in our chat room, wildtalkradio.com or owradio.com. He is coming up after the break. We thank Scott Hudson for joining us here, and we'll be back with hour 2 of Online World of Wrestling Radio in a moment on DJ Kazmier Night.
Cause it feels like it's overdose.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Yo, I'm in 5 Halls of Fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sakes. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
I want to do bad things with you.
We want to thank the folks from True Blood on HBO for bringing us the theme of the gentleman we're about to introduce here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. If you want to get involved in this conversation, it's 877-588-9877, option 1. If you're already in our chat rooms, you can go ahead and get the questions and comments ready, because he is here. He is here to not only talk about being a member of the Backseat Boys, he's not only here to talk about his new tag team, Vanilla Man Candy, he's also here to talk about an amazing event that's going to be going on in Dunkalk, Maryland, this weekend. It's the 10th annual Shane Shamrock Memorial Cup event. You can log on to MarylandWrestling.com. We are honored to have the man who wishes now to be addressed as Mr. Gay Philadelphia. Johnny Kazmir joins us on All My World on All My World Wrestling Radio. Good evening, sir.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm almost embarrassed by that intro there.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll make it horrible. All right. We'll go. Yeah, some guy from the Northeast that said, "Hey, I'm a good wrestler. Put me on my show."
Some jabroni that lobbies for the show.
Absolutely. Joining us also in this conversation, in case I run out of questions or the chat room does, two gentlemen that can be heard on this network on WrestleTalk Radio. Mace is sticking around, and from your local pharmacy, the man, the myth, the almighty Spug has joined us. Good evening, sir. How are the pills?
I heart Percocet.
You sound like certain you've been in.
Dude, I tell you what, morphine is a hell of a drug.
Who is this guy?
Here's the thing. Before you think I'm some crazy drug addict.
Too late.
Yeah. Let me press it.
Sensor button, please.
Before you think I'm some crazy drug addict, let me say, I went to the hospital on Saturday night with gallstones.
Ow. My wife had those.
Is that Dustin Runnels' new gimmick?
Yes.
Oh, gallstones. I was like, what? All right, go ahead.
I went to the hospital Saturday night with gallstones. I didn't know that's what they were, but I found out later that's what they were. And to ease the pain, they gave me morphine.
Uh-huh.
And so as a future painkiller, they gave me Percocet, and it is wonderful stuff.
Oh, boy. I bet it is. I had my issues with the Percocets before. I don't know how controversial we want to make this show, though. So
We could. I've got permission.
Homosexuality, drug addiction, death, all tonight on Online World of Wrestling. Oh, and what's his name? Scott Hudson? What was his name you had on earlier?
Yeah, it was Scott Hudson, and he was... I told him, and I said, a government agent. Yeah, and I cleared all of this with the big bosses, because I said to Brad Dykens, I said, I got Johnny Kazmir on the show, and he's like, oh, that's great, he's going to be great to talk to. I said, yeah, and we're probably going to end up getting censored by everyone in the world. He goes, why? I says, trust me, it'll be fun, it'll be good, because he may have some likers, he may have some haters, someone in our chat room already is giving you some praise that I'm not going to read on the air. Sorry, thanks for chatting in our room, though. Before we get into the obvious topic, a couple weeks ago, you unfortunately became center of attention to a lot of people because of your partner in crime for many years, and for fans who don't know it, your trainer, Michael Verdi, also known as Trent Acid, passed away. Your initial feelings when you were told about it were what? Was it a, oh my God, I can't believe this happened? Or, as some people came out in the media and said, well, it was a matter of time. I'm not one of those people, but it was just to read that from a few people that they said, oh, it was a matter of time. He was on a road to destruction. What do you hear when you think of that stuff?
See, I'm glad you asked that. I know the truth. I was there with Mike Verdi through his entire life. I used to pick him up from high school and bring him to wrestling practice so he could train me. I mean, think about that. You know, that's how far back we go. And it's one of those things where people don't understand the real him and the real me. You know, when you grow up without a dad, with an overbearing Italian mother, you're just, you grow up a certain way. And me and him both had that. We both were raised partially by our grandmothers. Wrestling filled a hole in our life that a dad never was able to fill. So when people say, oh, Trent Acid, it was just a matter of time, that's because Trent was so comfortable in the wrestling business. He's the kind of guy that would lay down and sleep in a locker room. He was just so comfortable a part of wrestling. It was him. It was who he was. So when he started doing bad towards the end, he didn't stop wrestling. Most people would have, oh, you know, I'm not in shape to wrestle. He kept doing it because he could still wrestle. Even though he was messed up, he would still go out there and have a match that was better than a match I would put on sober. And, you know, what do you do with someone? How do you tell someone like that you have to stop when life is proving that they don't? You see what I'm saying? And then he went around and he was very publicly in trouble. He was very publicly doing bad because he didn't keep in a house. He went and went out to wrestling events and acted a certain way at those events. And the whole world saw it. So, you know, of course people are going to say it's just a matter of time, it's just a matter of time, because he was so public about his drug use. He didn't try to hide it, especially the last year. And so many people don't realize that about him. They just think, oh, he's a junkie, he's not a good person. That couldn't be farther from the truth. Trent was an amazing human being. I mean, he laughed constantly and was just full of life and had a charisma that just followed him everywhere he went. I mean, you just see this kid on the street, and you know he's just not your average kid. There's something different about him. You can just tell that. He had that presence. And it just, when I found out he died, I was just sitting in front of my computer. And I don't think I got up from that computer until the Acid Fest was already planned. I just sat there for like 5 hours staring. Like, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't go on. I couldn't. I was in shock, complete shock. And I just went into my autopilot. And for me, my autopilot is running a wrestling event, go figure. So I just couldn't believe what happened with Trent. I was, like, in shock. And I just immediately went into running a wrestling show. I just subconsciously, like, it wasn't even on my mind. Like, let's run this event. It just happened. So hope I answered your question.
Yeah, and you can actually get that DVD online already. I know our video's got it. Is there any other sites that are selling it right now?
Possibly, but I know rfvideo.com definitely has it, and I know RF Video will be at the Shane Shamrock Cup in Maryland this Saturday, so they'll have it there.
Excellent. Now, for fans that obviously aren't aware of it, like I had mentioned, you trained together, you became a tag team together. Take us back in time for a moment or two of, I obviously have a great inkling of where the name of the tag team came from, but who actually, was it one of you two that came up with Backseat Boys? Was it a promoter that labeled it with you guys? Where did it come from? And run with how it ran, because it was everywhere. You guys are everywhere. You're in CZW and ROH. You did indies all over. Take us through the creation of the Backseat Boys.
I was training with Trent in Philadelphia at the Pitbulls gym. And the gym had closed down, and we didn't have anywhere to go. And, you know, here's our school, our training place, 4 nights a week. This is where we worked on our events. This was our home. And they closed down, the Fed closed down, et cetera. So we went across the bridge to train at Zandig School, because he was the only school in town all of a sudden. So we start training at his school. Before you know it, we're working for him. So that was one leg. The other leg was Donnie B., was the booker of NWA New Jersey, Dennis Carluzzo's federation. And they used to run, I mean, sometimes they'd run 6 times a month, and every show would have 800 people. It was amazing. And it was WWE-style crowds. It was families that wanted to spend money, so we were selling 8x10s. We were real popular. And Donnie wanted to do a Backstreet Boys gimmick. And he didn't know what he was going to call it. He was playing with the name Lip Sync, which I think is a band already, and then he was playing with Backseat Boys, and I think he had something else, and he was going to make it 4 of us. And I don't remember who. Someone came up to me and Trent and said, Donnie B. wants you two to go up and talk to him because he's starting a new Billy Band gimmick, and he might want you guys to do it. I had never talked to Donnie before. I said, are you sure he met me or just Trent? No, both of you. Okay. So I went up to him at Pine Hill, New Jersey. I said, Donnie, how you doing? I'm Johnny. Yeah, how you doing? When are you using a gimmick? It was just like that, like not audition for it. And I don't even think he had ever seen me wrestle. He just liked my look. And he had me and Trent tag team in, I want to say, Egg Harbor, New Jersey. And we were bad guys. And I remember I came to the ring, and I'd never danced in my life. I was the most uncoordinated, no rhythm, honky, white bread, cracker, suburbanite in the world. And I had no idea how to dance. So I went out there, and I didn't have a dance. So the music hit, and I just started doing this, like, I call it the white boy hop. It was like a shuffle of some sort. And I tripped over the steps and fell right on my ass. And the police just pissed themselves laughing. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, if we had come out as good guys and I had done that, we would have been done before we ever started. But since we were bad guys, it went with it, it worked. And the rest is history. We called on that night. After that one performance, Donnie B came up to us like and was like, guys, look, I'm not adding any more members. I'm not going to mess with success. I'll just manage you guys. And that's what happened. And the rest, as they say, is history.
We had talked with Scott Hudson about the ECW-TNA merger that's going on, but if my research tells me right, my research basically was asking you this morning, is it true that you actually were supposed to be a part, you and Trent were supposed to be a part of the original ECW before their financial trouble happened? Go ahead and talk about that, because I found it to be a very interesting story.
Yeah, actually, this was back when ECW was still running their arena. And we had gotten a call, I think it was from Gabe Sapolsky, who at the time was, you know, Paul Heyman's right-hand man, yada, yada. And it was something along the lines of, you know, Paul wants to meet you guys. You know, we want you guys to come up to the pay-per-view in Manhattan, come to the arena show, yada, yada, meet, show your face, you know, meet people, you know, yada. I keep saying yada yada, right?
It's okay.
Watching Seinfeld too much. So we went there, and it was Christmas time. I remember all the wrestlers were giving each other gifts, and I remember thinking, like, you know, I was probably 21 at the time, and every locker room I'm in is all 20-year-old kids, you know. And if we were going to give each other gifts, it would probably be a lottery ticket in a envelope, if that, you know, unsealed envelope with nothing written on it. These guys had, like, intricate wrapped gifts for each other and were, like, real human beings. I remember thinking, like, well, I'm impressed. And they had easy, you know, 1,000 people, 1,200 people. The building was insane. Paul Heyman invited me and Trent and Loki up onto the crow's nest thing. Oh, guys, come on, make yourselves at home. We walked out there. It was like, holy shit, the energy in that building was amazing. And, you know, we were given, I think they said something like end of April start dates, and we were going to feud with York and Matthews, and New York and Matthews had just started on the pay-per-views for ECW, and they were doing the angle with Tommy Dreamer. They were bleeding a lot. The crowd was into them. And for us to show up as, like, the anti-York and Matthews, bad guys, yada, yada, bumping for them, it would have been amazing, and our whole career would have been different. I absolutely know that. But everything happens for a reason. If I was meant to be in the WWF, I wouldn't have been made 6 foot, you know, 185 pounds. I would have been made 6'5". You know, 260. And I'm to the point now where I'm just happy still doing it. You know what I mean? I'm just happy that at 31 years old, I'm still wrestling after 12 years. I haven't been weeded out by the business yet. And believe me, the business weeds out the idiots. So I'm still doing something right. I'm happy to be around. I really, really got my spirits crushed when ECW closed. It was just, you know, it's like dangling that carrot. And then just as you get it, it just gets pulled away. But you sort of felt it in your fingers for a second, you know?
Mm-hmm. Johnny Kazmir joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. If you want to ask him anything, and believe me, we're going to get to the other stuff that everybody's biting to ask about. They want to talk about the Vanilla Man Candy Tag Team. We're getting there. 877-588-9877, option 1. One of the folks in our chat room, Owen Ishii, wants to know, how did the Backseat Dudleys thing happen? And what happened for the ties with WWE to fall apart? Why did it stop there? It seemed like they were getting exposure, maybe to get on the big show. Do you have any idea what he's talking about, Johnny?
I do. He's talking about the Backseat Dudleys was, actually, it was Easter Sunday, back in 01, I want to say. and our phone, Trent's phone rings, and it was again Gabe Sapolsky or Rob Feinstein, one of the two, interchangeable. I can never remember which one. And they basically said, you know, can you be in Manhattan when WWE still had their, the world, what was that, the cafe in Times Square?
Yep.
And they were doing Sunday Night Heats out of there on MTV. And they said, can you guys be up there in 2.5 hours, which is about the drive? And Trent was just like, you know, sure, Zoom, right in the car, on his way to get me, calls me from the car. You know, I'm thinking he's joking. Yeah, right, you idiot. What do you mean? You're just stopping by for Easter? Is that what it is? And you want to make up a joke? Is that what this is? Johnny, I swear to God, like, I'm not wearing my Easter clothes. I am on my way to get you because we are going to New York. Okay, sure, whatever. I half believed it, you know? So we get there, and it's Heyman, Taz, Michael Cole, and Albert. Now, it's Easter Sunday, so they had Jews working, obviously, you know, Heyman and Albert. So they weren't going to put just anyone out there on a holiday. So they figured out, Backseat Boys, Jabronis, get them in here. They'll work the holiday. And boy, were they right. And I remember Albert was going to give us that autobomb through a table. But before we had the table, they were just going to do it on the stage. Trent was literally going to let Albert pick him up by the neck and just throw him on his back on the wooden stage. And Heyman called Stephanie McMahon and, like, I guess interrupted the McMahon family Easter. And I heard her in the background say, I don't know if that's such a good idea. Do we really want a casualty on Easter? She says, why don't we give him a table? Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And they gave us a table. And I remember looking at Trent like, what are you thinking? You know, but it went good. We were just about to go through the stage on live TV. And I looked at him and I said, you know, you never told us what to say. They, like, handed us microphones. I said, you never even told us what to say. He said, oh, you guys are professionals. You'll know what to say. And me and Trent just looked at each other like, oh, my God, the things we could say on Sunday Night Heat, on MTV, on Easter Sunday. I mean, we could have got MTV thrown off the air if we wanted to. And believe me, we have that in us. But we didn't. And, no, nothing came of it. Nothing. Nothing at all ever came of it. We had a few dark matches, tryout type things, and I've appeared. We carried Kurt Angle's medal once, and we did a pay-per-view for TNA, like their 11th ever Wednesday pay-per-view. And then, you know, we've been around in Japan, and we did some Samurai TV, so we've had some pretty good exposure. It's just that nowadays there's just not much out there anymore. It's just, you know, the landscape has changed so much. You know, I almost don't even recognize the business anymore.
For fans that weren't listening a couple minutes ago, you had mentioned the name Zandig, and as soon as you hear Zandig, some people think music, other people in our industry think one of your home promotions, which was Combat Zone Wrestling. Had you seen any CZW stuff before you signed on, or were you there when it was opened, and were your initial, because you were going to work for ECW, so you knew that there was the hardcore violence aspect out there. Was that anything that you and Trent ever sat there and said, yeah, we totally want to do barbed wire baseball bat on a pole, on fire, in a lesbian's pocket, tattooed to a mom? What are your initial memories of going into Combat Zone?
No, I never wanted to do hardcore. When we started at Combat Zone, they weren't even all that hardcore yet. I mean, they were running smaller soccer stadiums. They still have family audiences. Zandig and maybe two or three other guys were doing the hardcore, and it was just like thumbtack matches and stuff like that, mouse traps. It was hardcore, but it wasn't as it grew into being. So, hold on 1 second.
Sure.
So anyway, of course the phone's ringing. I can't stop it from ringing. Damn it, hold on.
Smash it against the table, that usually
walk
works.
Away. Sorry about that. So anyway,
that's okay. We're
you gotta remind me where I was. I'm in here, I got three cast
about
roommates. CZW. So we went there, we started wrestling for them, and what ended up happening was I started carrying a baseball bat as it got more and more hardcore. We started doing more and more to sort of keep ourselves in the mix. What happened was they had some hardcore. They didn't have any real wrestling. Me and Trent started having matches with Rick Blade and Nick Mondo that were the only matches I can even compare them to are the Hardy Boys and Edge and Christian and Dudley's ladder matches. And I know a lot of people like to compare their matches to those ours really did come close. If you watch ours, they're amazing. They still hold up to this day. You go to my YouTube. It's YouTube/Johnny Cashmere. Click favorites. Right there are the Backseat Boys matches. You can see me and Trent versus Blade and Mondo. You can see that the spots were way ahead of their time. So in CZW, we just sort of adapted to what they needed. You know, the hardcore was taken care of. So why should we go out there and do hardcore when they needed the element of good wrestling? They needed that to have depth in their company. And we helped bring that. So we were always happy about that.
In addition to that, at one point on a couple Ring of Honor events, you guys came in and were part of the Scramble tag teams and whatnot. Was that kind of refreshing to get away from the Combat Zone ultra violent aspect to go to the pure wrestling aspect of ROH, or was it just, hey, Gabe and Rob called, they want us to come work for us, it's a payday?
I don't know how to say that. At the time, it was a payday, because Ring of Honor was still only like a year old when we went there or something like that. So it was just a payday. We looked at Ring of Honor as the company that started with everyone CZW wasn't using. So we never really thought of it as a big thing. And then they brought us in the feud with Carino and Homicide, and then we just ended up staying in because the crowd liked us. Our matches were good. Our matches were very good. I don't respect their product anymore. I would say this to Carrie if he was sitting right in front of me. No hard feelings. I respect what they do, what they're trying to do, but I don't respect the product. I think being a former tag team champion, to watch their wrestlers who are way smaller than average human beings. I mean, their wrestlers are small compared to people on the street, okay? And they're taking these huge moves and getting right back up. So to me, they must have changed rings since I've been there. Because when I was there, that ring hurt. Now the ring must be like a mattress. These guys are jumping up. I don't want to watch guys wrestle on a mattress, personally. That's just my taste, okay? That answer your question?
Absolutely. We got a question from the WildTalkRadio.com chat room from a user named Spaz87. Would like to know, what is the current status of your wrestling school? Did you have a wrestling school, or do you currently have one? Is, I guess, the question that wants to be asked.
Yeah, we had a wrestling school for years, 5-6 years. We are in the middle of trying to open up one for no other reason than me and Matt Walsh need a place to train.
Mm-hmm.
But if we open up a school, of course we'll train people and get the gang back together, and who knows, maybe even run shows in the school. I don't know. I'm not giving up in wrestling. I'm just sort of doing it at my own pace now. I'm not worried about what people think. I'm not trying to please anybody but myself anymore. And I just want to have fun doing it, you know. And so far, I'm loving it. This little, you know, comeback has been just on my own terms, and I'm enjoying it. I'm no longer the style of wrestler that would wrestle in Ring of Honor. It's funny, I was talking to the guys over at MCW, and I'm like, you know, guys, I'm not a tournament-style wrestler. Like, I'm more of a, you know, Santino, Morella, Carlito. I'm more of a, you know, shtick guy. And I want to be that. That's what I want to be. If I have a future in this business, personally, that future to me is going to be holding a microphone or wearing a headset. It's not going to be wrestling in the ring. And I've accepted that, and I'm happy with that. And if I can open up my wrestling school and help a few guys get there, even though I don't, that would be great, especially Matt Walsh.
Mm. Had someone in our chat room that also wanted to step back into Ring of Honor for a second here that wanted to know, at any point, was ROH going to do something involving the Backseats and the former manager of the Midnight Express, Jim Cornette, since the questionnaire wanted to know about this? Because I guess the Midnight Express ring music was used. Did that ever at any point come up, or were you just not involved with ROH at the time with Cornette coming into power?
Nah, not involved with them. The stuff Cornette's been doing lately, I don't want any involvement with him. My God, I've been following that stuff. I'm like, what the hell? So, no, I wouldn't. At this point, I wouldn't go back to Ring of Honor, even if they asked me.
So if Roderick Strong is saying, I want to work, Johnny Cashmere, get him here, you're telling Roderick, sorry, dude, not happening.
First of all, Roderick's not a mark to say that. Wrestling's not real like that. It's not like he really wants to get his hands on me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Roderick would never say such a thing. He would probably end up being more like, Johnny who? That's the mentality of their locker room. Just don't stink.
That's crazy.
I've been there, done that. Before even, you know.
All right. We want to thank everyone for contributing questions tonight. You can do it through the wildtalkradio.com chat room or 877-588-9877. Option 1 is the one for Online World of Wrestling Radio with the man who is, he's no longer a backseat boy, kids. He is known now as Mr. Gay Philadelphia. One of the folks that wanted me, got a question from a friend of mine named Mike Ligori, who is a, who had seen Chris Canyon wrestle here in Florida for a promotion called Elite Wrestling Entertainment, and then Canyon came out and had said that he was gay, and obviously there was this horrible suicide. Wanted me to ask, did Canyon's suicide have anything to affect you to say, I'm homosexual, I don't care what anybody thinks anymore, I want to come out? Or was it a plan in your mind originally that whether even before Canyon had passed away?
No. It was, I don't know how to say it. It was something I always knew, but I thought that I would, it was a phase, I would just outgrow it. And then I hit 30 and I hadn't outgrown it yet. And I realized I wasn't gonna. And I've been with a couple really hot girls in the wrestling business, and it didn't do it for me. So I like to say certain women turned me gay, which is always fun for them to hear. But, no, I think when Canyon came out, I liked that. But then when he died, I really was like, oh my God. And I was going to come out then, like that day. But then I was like, well, that's a little tacky. Let the guy die, you know? So I waited and I came out and, you know, it's funny. The only reason I really came out is because the whole Mr. Gay Philadelphia, I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm really going to run for Mr. Gay Philadelphia, and I'll use it in my wrestling gimmick. And it's kind of like a new king gimmick. Don't think of it as a Chuck and Billy or a Rico gimmick. No, I'm masculine. I always will be. Think of it more like a king, you know, like some guy coming out, Mr. Gay Philadelphia, with a crown and a pageant sash, saying he's better than you. You're going to hate him. And, you know, I'm not trying to be the big baby face. That's not fun for me. It's not fun for me to go out there and have the crowd cheer me. I want them to hate me. That's my gift, is a heel.
Before we go forward, one of the questions in the email account that we got at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com backtracked for a moment to the promotion known as PWU that I believe you were involved with in some form or fashion. Was that pro wrestling?
Yeah, it was my company.
Unplugged? Whatever happened to the promotion, what was it, just a business decision to shut it down, or what happened to the company?
It was alive for six years, something like that, and ran pretty much all of my other people's money. It was the biggest venture I'd ever undertaken in my life. It left me with no free time, more headaches than you can shake a stick at, constant phone calls, constantly dealing with headaches and drama, and no time for a regular life. And it just wasn't worth it after a while. The economy's bad. The business is on a downswing. Everyone and their mother wants to be an MMA star nowadays. No one wants to be. There's no kids out there saying, oh, yeah, my future's in wrestling. It just doesn't happen. You don't hear it anymore. It's not there. Their future's either in MMA or whatever, you know. And I just think that's a shame. You know, when I started wrestling, there was a wrestling school on every street corner. Now there's an MMA school on every street corner. So, you know, it's kind of like, what do the fans want? Do the fans want their intelligence to be insulted night after night, week after week, year after year? Or do the fans want to be treated like equals and treated like they're somewhat intelligent? Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you watch WWE. First of all, I can't watch it. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I can't. I cannot watch it. I try. I can't. It doesn't hold my attention. It makes me sick. When I see guys on there that can't believably look into a camera and convey an interview, I call that not believable as a human being. I wonder if I follow these people around in their real lives, if they are that fake when they talk to people for real. I just can't imagine living my life like that. And then what cracks me up is, it always seems to me like the guys that have the least to offer are the ones throwing the most stones. And I just look at these guys on TV, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this one's got a good look, this one's got a good body, But there's no one that has it all. There's no one that can cut promo and has good facial expressions and can have a good match and can make the crowd love him or hate him, can give you anything you want no matter where you put him on the show. There's just not many guys like that. Who, Michaels? That's about it. I mean, it's just not existent anymore. There's no more Rock. You know, there's just no more Austin. It's just, and I don't see it happening again, do you?
I'm not 100% sure. It's a weird one. I knew this was going to happen when we had you on, though I was going to get some interesting questions from people in our room. Jersey Girl, one of the regulars on the show, since you're not a big fan of WWE, it's going to be a little difficult for me to ask this question, but she wanted to know, in character form or in real life, who do you think is gayer, Dolph Ziggler or Zack Ryder?
If Dolph Ziggler and Zack Ryder fell out of the sky right now and landed on me, I wouldn't know who they were.
It would be Nicky Nemeth. He used to be a part of the Spirit Squad. I don't know if you remember those guys from
years ago. Yeah, I do, but I can't tell you which of the guys it is. I know Ken Doan. That's the only one I know. No, I don't know who they are. Yeah, I would have to look it up on the internet, okay. Look up their faces, and then tell you. And I have no idea.
That's fair enough.
I don't look at these. Yeah.
Right,
I'm not a fan like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Spug is here. Spug, you put down your drink. Go ahead. I think you had an issue with him in MMA. Go ahead and defend your MMA-ness.
Uh-oh. What's wrong with MMA? Look, I've spent my time in the squared circle. I wrestled in Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky. Had a kid who was green. 3 days out of training, break my tailbone and give me a concussion, and I went, you know what, I'm done with this crap.
So you went running with your tail between your legs, so to speak?
You know what? I did, but because I have a
no
wife...
No pun intended?
But because I have a wife and child, I kind of justified the decision.
No, I understand. No. You ran with your tailbone between your legs is what I meant, anyway. I wasn't bashing MMA. I'm just saying I wish wrestling would still be like it was. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Look, I agree with you. I wanted to go back to the days of Jake the Snake Roberts and
great.
And the psychology of a match and things like that. I miss those days. I tell you what.
So do I.
I worked for a little promotion about 45 minutes south of me twice a month. And the best match I ever saw took place there. And it was 15 minutes and 3 bumps.
Wow.
Was that Steven Regal match or no?
It was, you know, you've been in the business a very long time, so you probably heard the name, Nightmare Jimmy Lee?
Nah. I never even knew Dolph Ziggler, dude. You're surprised I don't know Jimmy Lee?
He's been around for a very long time, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But,
Well, tell him I said congratulations on his longevity. I mean, that's great. I'm not sure what we're getting at here.
But, no, I'm asking if you knew who it was, because that's who was in the match.
Oh, no, I'm not familiar, I'm sorry.
Ass.
And Al.
But it was him and another guy who wrestled in there, and it was amazing to watch, because you could see the crowd just want Jimmy to kill this guy, and he wouldn't do it, and it was 3 bumps, and I'm like, why can't companies do this anymore? Why do we have to have spot monkeys? Why do we have to have people who, you know, can't even talk, let alone wrestle?
Well, that goes back to your actual training school situation. One of the folks in the chat room wanted to know where are their current PWU students working. Talk about that, because you have trained folks that are in the business now, just like Spug was bringing up. Did you ever sit them down and go, see this ROH stuff, this titty heart jumping off a cage type stuff? You guys aren't going to learn that here. What was your method of teaching?
Yeah, I taught old school. We taught them respect. We taught them the way it was when we came up, not the way it is now. You know, you have to teach locker room etiquette. You have to teach them how to act. You know, some wrestling schools teach their guys how to wrestle, and then they got to go in the locker room and offend people the first 2 minutes in the locker room, and then they have heat, and that's it. You know, there's a lot more to wrestling that people don't know. It's kind of like learning sign language. It's its own language. It's its own dialect. You have to, you know, learn it the way you have to learn it. You know, it is a certain way. And, you know, once you sort of crack that code, you can sort of be around forever. You know, there is an entity. There is a collective consciousness to the business. There really is. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like an entity. It's almost like a life in its own. And if you just stay in communion with that, and you respect it, and you're not out trying to rape the business for your own personal gain, and you're actually trying to use the business to help yourself and others, the business works with you. It really does. It's like a perfect momentum takes in. And I can't tell you how many times in my wrestling career I've just felt myself just be swept away, and you just allow it to happen. You don't micromanage. You don't meddle. You don't say, well, no, I have to stop and do this or that. You just let it happen. You just go with the flow. And that's how I've lived my career. You know, I just allow things to happen to me and don't meddle. And it's worked so far.
He is Johnny Kazmir on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Another person in our chat room wanted to know, if you mentioned working for NWA New Jersey, do you have any funny Dennis Carluzzo stories that you may want to share with the listeners, or do we not want to go into that?
No, I'll go into it. I'm just trying to think if I have any. I mean, Dennis did so many funny things, but I guess the funniest thing was when in Blackwood, New Jersey, at the rec center. Have a good one. They did Ahmed Johnson was scheduled to wrestle someone. I don't remember who. And Ahmed didn't show up. And they had like 800 people at this thing. And Dennis went out to the ring with his son and held up a big poster board with Ahmed Johnson's hotel phone number on it and told everyone, you know, use your cell phones and wake his tired ass up all night and you tell him that, you know, apparently he wouldn't come to the show because the car they picked him up in wasn't nice enough or something. So he said, forget it, I'm not going. So Dennis gave out his number and people called him and messed with him at night and stuff. I thought that was pretty ballsy.
Another question from the room. Spaz87 wanted to know, what was going through your head when you wrestled Devin Moore at Acid Fest?
Fuck. Oh, sorry. Jesus.
What was going through my head?
I was just thinking about... Honestly, I was thinking about how I didn't want to be in that building without Trent. That's what I was thinking. I have no interest in wrestling at the arena ever again in my life.
Wow.
You know, almost every time I've come through that curtain has been with Trent, or with Trent at my side, or with Trent in the locker room. And just to be there and to hear the music and for him not to be there, I don't know. I would have rather, him been there, obviously. But no, I don't know what was going through my head. How am I going to get through this match? Was going through my head. What can I cut out now that I'm crying my eyes off and can barely stand? I mean, those were the things going through my head.
Jersey girl wants to know, Johnny, do you have any classic ribs that you have played on wrestlers, and what was the funniest ones that you've ever seen done to somebody?
I mean, there's always the, you know, you chain somebody's bag to his chair, so he's got to bring the chair home with him at night. We weren't really big ribbers, to be honest with you. Most of the locker room at CCW was more worried about, you know, going out and meeting a girl or, you know, having fun and, you know, going out to the bar afterwards. They weren't really into any of that. I don't know. I'm not really for ribs. I mean, there's some funny stuff like me and Nick Burke and Trent were driving somewhere and Trent was drinking like a Pepsi or something and Nick was spitting his tobacco in a Pepsi bottle and they put them next to each other and they looked the same, brown liquid, and Trent grabbed the wrong one and oh my God, he downed it too. I mean, he didn't just sip it. He gulp, like down the throat and we had to pull over. He was dry heaving. It was hysterical. Hysterical, and he's like, "You asshole, stop laughing, you asshole!" And I just couldn't stop laughing. But yeah, there's tons of funny stories like that with Trent.
That's gross.
We were in Amsterdam. We had the best time in Amsterdam ever. There's some of that footage on my click videos on my Facebook, and you'll see the footage of Amsterdam. We probably had the best time of my life ever over in Amsterdam. And I don't condone any kind of drugs, ever. And when your boy was J- joking about Percocets earlier and morphine. I try not to joke about that anymore, especially with Trent and his death and, you know, how sensitive of a topic that is. And you're not going to see me, you know, joking about drugs or death anymore, because I know that drugs can really take a human being from you. And there's nothing to joke about it, you know, with drugs. And I've been down that road myself. I have herniations. I have a broken tailbone. I have scoliosis, amongst other things. And I could be on Percocets the rest of my life, but I choose not to be. I put myself through detox 2.5 years ago. It was only a 5-day thing, and I beat it myself. But it's just the point that how many people are not as fortunate to beat it. It breaks my heart.
You mentioned scoliosis, and this brings up another interesting fact that I didn't know about. And if you want to know more about him, he has a Facebook page. You can just look up Johnny Casimir. What made you sit somewhere and go, wrestling's awesome, I want to become a licensed massage therapist? What brought that on?
What brought that on? That's funny. I met someone that does it for a living who's amazing at it. And I was trained over time. I'm not actually certed, but I'm trained by probably the best. And it's just something that I could always fall back on. I was getting, I was actually exotic dancing at the time. I don't really do that much now. I still do it occasionally, a special event here, a special party here, but I don't just go to clubs and dance anymore like I used to. But when I was, a lot of people were coming up to me and saying, you know, what's your deal? What do you do for a living? Blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't the kind of thing where you wanted to tell these guys, oh, I'm a pro wrestler, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, a massage therapist is something that when I'm at my other jobs, I can hand out my business cards and drum up business. So it just worked out for me. I mean, I can even advertise massage therapy and wrestling. I can even go to a wrestling event locally and hand out my business cards in the crowd. Just like Matt Walsh is a personal trainer, not only a personal trainer, my personal trainer. So same thing. He can hand out his business cards anywhere he goes, including in wrestling. And we're just trying to market ourselves as much as possible. And the more skills you have, the more marketable you become.
Now, my wife was the one that actually wanted to ask this one, because when I was doing the research the other night, she came in the room and she's like, why are you calling it DJ Casimir night? And I go, because he DJs sometimes. She's like, because she did it in her youth at some clubs here in Florida. How often do you DJ, and is it as Johnny Casimir, or do you have a stage name that you use for that, and where can people find out about your DJing gigs?
Yeah, actually, last summer I was DJing a lot, like almost every night. Now I've sort of taken a step back. I DJ Saturdays when I'm not wrestling at Upstairs at Risque. You can go to upstairsatrisque.com. That is actually it's a male strip club in that the men are the dancers and the women are the customers, and no men are allowed in. I'm the DJ there, and, you know, you have to DJ with your shirt off, so the girls are constantly coming over and talking to me. And, you know, I actually started out as a dancer there. The DJ stole or something, did something. They had to fire him. And they literally pulled me off the floor as a dancer and was like, we know you DJ, we need you to cover. And it ended up that I was just like, you know what, I'll just be the DJ. Why bother doing both? So plus I'm gay, working at a club like that for the girls. You got to kind of pretend, you know what I mean? I'd rather dance for guys. I'm sorry, but I would. So it wasn't that much fun for me. But the energy in there is amazing. I mean, you can't even wear a necklace or an earring because the girls will rip it out. I mean, that's how crazy they get. Yeah, they get crazy. Absolutely crazy. I take pictures. There's actually an Upstairs at Risque gallery on my Facebook in the photos, and you can see how insane it gets in there, and packed, and the girls just get so drunk, and it's a great time. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yep, there'll
but
be some
DJing I'm doing.
Instead of Girls Gone Wild, we'll have Girls Gone Casimir or some sort of DVDs out there.
Yeah, right. Girls Gone Mild for Casimir.
I got a question for you, Johnny.
Yeah.
Now, you are an openly gay and proudly openly gay wrestler and male, correct?
Correct.
What would it take in the wrestling industry for there to be more openly gay men? Because there's, you know, you had John Amici a couple of years ago, who was an openly gay basketball player. You never hear about openly gay baseball players or openly gay football players. Wrestling is...
Unless they retire.
Wrestling is sort of the last areas where you would find openly gay individuals. What is it going to take for that to happen?
I think it would take already established, loved stars to come out of the closet. In other words, if, and I'm just pulling names, I don't know anything you don't know, believe me. Let's just say, you know, God forbid, John Cena or Randy Orton or whoever else were to come out and, hey, I'm gay. Well, my guess is there are straight people that would turn gay just for them. You know, like, oh, I want to be gay too. If Cena's gay, what the hell? I mean, if they came out and decided, hey, I'm gay, I think it would be very accepted in wrestling. And who would be able to say anything then? But that's what it's going to take. It's not guys like me, you know, who are semi, you know, unknown that are going to hopefully get a spot. You're not going to see me on WWE TV. They're not going to treat me the way they treat a Striker and hire me because I'm such an oddity. It's not going to happen. I'm not making national news with my datum. Yep. Give me time, guys. So we don't have any more, like, juicy questions. Like, this has been too mild, man. Come on, throw
some. Oh, I'll get there. Okay, well, you mentioned
that... And throw it at my head.
Well, you mentioned that you're running for Mr. Gay Philadelphia. Is that like an office that you can actually run for? And I'm just saying it for comedic. I'm saying it for comedic effect because it almost looks like I'm waiting for these campaign commercials. If I'm sitting in Philadelphia, this message is approved by Denny Casimir. I want to be Mr. Gay Philadelphia. Is that how it works, or is there a website people can go to and vote? How does this work?
It works like this. First of all, the same guy has won for 3 years in a row.
Uh-oh, it's rigged.
Yeah, thank you. And he's not even anything, okay? He's like 5'8", 5'7", you know, he's okay, but whatever. I know that it's something like 20 bars in Philly or 12 bars in Philly, and each bar picks their representative. So each bar has their own preliminary. So you have to win at one of them. And then you get sent in April to the finals at Club Voyer, and then that's based on, I guess, audience or judges, I'm not sure. But I have from now till then to infiltrate and figure out exactly how this asshole keeps winning. And then whatever he's doing, I'll do double to make sure I win. You understand?
Absolutely.
I'm
kidding. But no, I do want to be that. I'm writing a column on PhillyGayCalendar.com. I haven't wrote since Trent died just because I haven't been inspired to. But I'm going to pick it up again, and once I do, it'll be weekly again like it was. But that's good for building my foundation in Philly. Running for Philly, Mr. Gay Philadelphia, gets my name out there, gets my massage business out there. It's basically free advertising for me in the city. And I'm having a lot of fun, man. I really am. For 30 years to be in the closet and not to be fulfilled and then to suddenly, you know, come bursting out of the gate like a bull ready to, you know, ready to gore somebody, and it just, I've needed this my whole life, and I feel good. I feel really, really good.
We got an email at the radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com from a girl named Melissa that wanted to know, does Johnny watch TNA wrestling, and being that he is gay, what does he think of the way that Vince Russo and The Office have booked the openly bisexual Orlando Jordan?
Okay, Orlando Jordan, I actually talked to him on Facebook, and I told him if you're ever in town, you know, feel free to get a massage. There's nothing sexual about my massages, guys, first of all, so don't think I'm a happy ending guy or anything like that. I do very professional massages, and I told Orlando, look, you're in town, be more than happy to massage you, no charge. So when he comes in town, I'll hang out with him, massage him, hopefully make friends. You know, I'm not going to try to hook up with him or anything. I wouldn't do that with another wrestler. But as far as how they're booking him, I have no idea. I don't watch it. So the last time I watched wrestling was January, like, 2nd when Hart and Hogan both showed up on the same night or whatever. I haven't watched it since. And before that, it was years. So I'm so out of the loop. I'm sorry I can't answer any of these, you know, new questions.
Mm-hmm. No, but you answered it a bit for what we wanted to know.
All right.
Obviously, everybody is under... Go ahead. I think that was Bug chiming in.
Nope, it wasn't me.
Okay, I thought Mace is just sitting there enjoying this. He's like, I came on to talk TNA, and you're not talking TNA, so I'm just going to prepare my show tomorrow night, which is Otaku Talk, which is a geek speak type of event. And I guess we can ask this, because I'm sure Omega may want to ask this. I think it was asked in a print interview that you sent to me, of the Batman, because you do have a very nice Batman tattoo that you have seen on screen, and Adam West is in his own right, with Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, and now Christian Bale, who is the, because you get the question all the time, who's the best 007? Is it Sean Connery? Is it this guy, that guy? In your mind, Johnny Casimir, who is the best Batman of the film era, and why?
Christian Bale. Absolutely. He's believable. He looks like the kind of guy that could orchestrate a plan properly. Looks like the kind of guy that can take a punch. I heard his rant where he went off on that stagehand from SNL, and I remember thinking to myself, like, well, here's a guy you don't want to be on his bad side.
You know, look so what he did to that Machinist movie a few years ago. The guy dropped weight to the point he looked like a walking corpse.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was then.
Some folks in the chat room have been getting on us about kind of dodging a Trent Acid question, so I unfortunately don't, I'm not a censor person, so whenever they ask in the room, I gotta ask it.
I told you I'm fine with that, man.
Okay, have you, well, this is an interesting one. Have you heard an actual cause of death yet? Was it a suicide thing? What was it? Do we know yet, or are we waiting for toxicology?
It was not a suicide. Okay. Yeah, I know that it was not a suicide. 100% was not a suicide. It was an accidental overdose. That's what it was.
Okay. We're getting close to the top of the hour, and we don't care. We're going to keep pushing on through here because this is a great interview that you can find here, and you can check the archives out on OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com or OWWRadio.com. And it looks like Mace does have a question. Go ahead, Mace. Ask away.
Yes, you're saying I'm being quiet here. Yeah, believe it or not, I'm still doing research, trying to catch up on the career of Johnny Casimir. However, the question was asked in the chat room, and I was going to ask it when the opportunity came up. What was it like working with Burt Ward, and how did that lead into the new Batman gimmick that you did in PWU?
Well, in CZW, we had touched on it was a hardcore fed, and I wasn't the most hardcore guy or the biggest guy, so I'd bring a baseball bat out as my equalizer. And it was just some random interview, and one of the guys interviewing me said, who do you think you are, or something, and I said, I'm Batman, and the crowd liked it, and I liked it. And then for a couple years after that, I always came out with the baseball bat and would refer to myself as Batman and stuff like that. And then I was running an event called our Crazy Eight, which we hang rope swings from the ceiling, and it's like a big jungle gym, and it's really neat. And I heard that Burt Ward was in town at a Comic-Con, and I reached out to his manager, who I think was gay, by the way, and said, you know, I need to get him here. We have to figure something out. And he gave me, like, the unbelievable rock-bottom price, and Burt Ward came in and walked me to the ring, and he made me get down on my knees and took my bat out and knighted me. We called it the Dark Knighting. And I went out and got a tattoo like the very next day of Batman, and then I went out and got another tattoo, and then it just started to snowball from there. And I mean, I have pictures when I was like 5, and I'm wearing my Batman. You know, do you remember Under Ruse?
Oh yeah, I'm sure we've all seen them at some point.
Yeah,
they like, make adult with Under Ruse.
That's right. I heard. I don't have them though.
I do, because my daughter got me a pair for Father's Day.
Batman? Are they Batman?
No, I have Spider-Man ones.
That's okay, then. It's close enough.
I was never a fan of Batman. I always liked the Riddler or the Joker more.
I'm hanging up, guys.
Don't do that.
All right, well, let's not talk about Batman.
All right, we won't go there. Well, we'll go back. We'll take a step back into the wrestling area for a second. Jersey Girl has been asking in our chat room, who, in your opinion, is the best indie wrestler that is not in World Wrestling Entertainment or TNA Wrestling but should be?
I would have said Teddy Hart. I don't know now. Let me think who should be there that's not there. I always like to see Christian York get something. Matthews' old partner. I always thought he was.
Weren't York and Matthews under a developmental deal at some point? I'm not 100% sure on that one.
I don't remember. I don't remember that. I'm sure. It seems like everyone's been under a developmental deal at some point.
I think my cap's under a developmental deal right now. We're very proud of Junior. He goes over and does the bumping over there with the mulleted Dr. Tom Pritchard and everything. One of the folks in our chat. Go ahead.
I was going to say my cat knocked a comic book off the wall, which was held by thumbtacks, and I walk around with bare feet, so I was hardcore the other day.
There you go.
It was the same as doing hardcore in indie wrestling because I didn't get paid for it. Ta-dum bump.
Wow, that's awesome. A couple folks in our chat room is actually very popular tonight. If you're listening on World of Wrestling Radio and Wild Talk Radio, thanks for all these great questions. One of the folks wanted to know, do you have any kind of professional or business relationships now with Todd Gordon, who I believe was a part of Pro Wrestling Unplugged at some point?
Yeah, I mean, we still keep in touch. You know, we're friends. Definitely. I'm actually planning on stopping by his work in the next few days. I hope he didn't. Now he's hearing this and is like, lock the doors.
Yeah, he is Johnny Casimir. As we approach the 11 o'clock portion of our show, we want to thank all of you for joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. You can be a part of the chat. You can be a part of it by dialing 877-588-9877. You can option one. You're also doing great in the chat room. We really appreciate you being here with us. He is going to be a part of an event this weekend that we will address completely in the next few minutes. That is the 10th annual Shane Shamrock Memorial Cup. You can go to MarylandWrestling.com for that one. That as we get into that situation, at what point you mentioned that Matt Walsh was your personal trainer? At what point after Backseat separated did you say, no, I'm enjoying the solo stuff. You want to be in a tag, Matt? Yeah, I want to be in a tag. How did the relationship, other than that he's your personal trainer, and what led to the creation of Vanilla Man Candy?
Last August, I was working in Philly, and I got a call from Nate Stein, and Nate said, are you familiar with Matt Walsh? I said, no, I'm not. Who is he? And he said, well, he lives near us in Philly. Was in WWE developmental, just got let go like 2 weeks ago at this point, back in August. And he's moving back here to Philly, and he needs a place to train, a place to wrestle, yada, yada. This was end of August. I had an event coming up, our sixth anniversary, I guess it was, for PW, was coming up in September. So we put out a press release, Matt Walsh will sign a PW contract at our sixth anniversary event. So we started off the show. Me and Trent were in the ring, and Matt Walsh, we invited him out to the ring, and we said, okay, it's time for the big contract signing. And then we swerved everybody, and we had him sign a Backstreet Boys contract. So Matt Walsh, for five months, was the third Backstreet Boy, and we became a three-man unit. And then Trent and I, Trent started not doing so good. He started slipping a little. Me and him grew apart for the last couple of months, and that's when me and Matt decided to just rename it. We didn't want to be compared to the Backstreet Boys. Do you see what I'm saying? We didn't want people to say, oh, well, Johnny and Matt aren't as good as Johnny and Trent. It's two completely different things, two completely different styles. We're going for a completely different thing here than we were with Trent. And what happened was we were trying to think of a name. I'll never forget this. We just could not think of a name. We were thinking all different stuff. And my phone rings, and it was Matt Walsh. And this was just about a couple months ago. I guess he was on the beach with a girl. And he said a black girl came up to them on the beach, him and his girl. And I guess didn't even know them and just looked at his girl and said, you know, ooh, that's some Vanilla Man Candy there, boy, you know, something like that. And I guess Matt, like, reached in his pocket and dialed my number. And I'm like, hello? And he's like, I got our name. I said, what? Vanilla Man Candy. I said, oh, my God, yes, you do. and that was it. And we just went with it.
Now, is he running for Mr. Straight Philadelphia? Is that an office he can run for as well, or is that just a name he came up with?
That's a name he came. There is no Mr. Straight Philadelphia. That's what he came up with. He would just be Mr. Philadelphia.
Okay. I had to ask that.
He's self-proclaimed Mr. Straight Philadelphia, which is just funny in itself. Just saying it is funny.
Yeah, we're going to take a step back into the CCW Ring of Honor type pool here for a second. That Jersey Girl wanted to know, she lives an hour from Philadelphia and is a big Phillies baseball fan. Do you feel that Philadelphia wrestling fans are as passionate as Philadelphia Eagle fans and Phillies fans? I don't know. Did the CCW crowd ever throw batteries at you guys or cups of urine like they've done to some of the sports athletes that have come to play?
No, what happened to us was the girls would give us money on the way to the ring. I mean, me and Trent were making $50 and ones on the way to the ring. And
damn right.
We were counting on that for part of our payday. Did you say yeah, right?
Damn right. That's awesome that you're making money on the way to the ring. You didn't even need to have a gimmick table with shirts. You guys are making money going down the aisle. I'm sure the Von Erichs are sitting in the past going, crap, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, and then what happened was, I'll never forget this. We were leaving, we had just finished our match and we were walking out of the ring to the locker room and a couple people threw some change down the aisleway, and we went to the locker room, and then the next month came, and for some reason, I said, Trent, they're going to throw money at us tonight in the ring, and he said, what do you mean? I said, they're going to throw change at us tonight, I said, because when we were leaving last month, I got hit with a couple coins, I said, and they really seemed to, like, be real proud of themselves that they thought of it, like, you could hear them in the crowd, like, oh, yeah, we just threw coins, great idea, and I said, so let's play with them a little bit here, so we went out into the crowd, and I really got into the ring, and I really got them incensed. And I, the Acid Fest DVD just got here. It's in my hand. Great. Anyway, went out to the ring, and I had my baseball bat bag. You know the bat bags that you bring to baseball practice with you that you can, like, hang on the fence, and your bat comes out of it just like a sheath. So I wear that on my back so that I can reach back like a sword and whip my bat out when I need it. Well, we're in the ring. They just start pelting us with coins, just as I predicted. I reach for my bat, I pull it out, I have an umbrella instead of a bat. So I put it up, so now they're just really throwing coins. And the athletic commission had to get on the microphone and threaten to shut the show and the building down if one more thing gets thrown in the ring. I mean, it was near riotous in the arena. I've never seen anything like it. And you can find that on YouTube or DVD with CZW. You can see I'm not lying or exaggerating.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Trent was trying to collect all the change real fast on the ground, and our manager Dewey like got hit in the eye and fell, and oh, it was so funny. And then I think I slipped or something. I mean, it was just a funny moment, you know. To me, the best things in wrestling are ad-libbed. You know, the best things just happen on the fly. I never practice or think of what I'm going to say on the microphone ever. I always just go out there and feel it out.
Well, we've had this discussion on this show with both, since people that aren't aware of it, both Mace and Spug are trained wrestlers and wrestled frequently. Mace is on the Aussie Independent Circuit. Is that something that when you hear people say, you know, like WWE has like 15, 20 writers and TNA is Russo and was Ferrara for a while, that the majority of the talent today can't cut a promo like you just said, where you're just going, I'm going to cuff it, I'll cuff it in my pocket, we'll see how I feel when I get out there. Does that bother you that all these guys need to have words fed to them by a guy who, hey, I used to work for Nick at Night. Cool, come on, you're on our writing staff, dude.
I think that, I mean, do they have the promo scripted up there? Is that what you're saying? WWE scripts promos for the guys?
Russo was claiming back during his time that he was basically writing word for word promos that Triple H did and Shawn Michaels did.
I mean, could you imagine? Like, could you imagine looking at Shawn Michaels and saying to him, I think I know better than you what you should say? I don't know. I would never have the balls. And I had balls. And I wouldn't have the balls to do that.
All right. We also want to thank Missy Sampson of WSU joining us in our chat room tonight. She said she came over here to support you on our show, and we're very appreciative of her being there tonight in our room. And Once again, thanks to
my athletic supporter. Tell her. Athletic supporter.
Yeah, and of course, because we had a great guest again, the idea of doing the two-hour show just went out the window, and I'm loving every second of it. We've mentioned before that you're part of this weekend Shane Shamrock Memorial event. For first off, for fans that have no idea who the heck Shane Shamrock was, fill them in if you can, please.
The Shane Shamrock Memorial Cup, this is the 10th annual. It is a, I want to say, five matches in the opening round, because one of them is a tag.
Yep,
match.
We got the card here in front of us. We'll run the card in a second, but go ahead.
Okay, and I guess the winner of every match goes on to the end against Ryan McBride, who was last year's winner. So I think it's like a six-way main event. Like I don't know if it's elimination or first pin, though.
I'm not sure. Their site like doesn't really say it.
No, it doesn't. It's vague, which might be better. I don't know. But I'm, like I said, I'm not the style. So it's going to really be interesting to see how I clash with these guys.
Did you ever interact with Shane Shamrock? Have you ever met? Okay.
Not that I recall. No, not.
Yeah, I do believe one of the folks in our chat room is saying that he was an upcoming Maryland wrestler, and it's kind of like how NWA Florida IPW Hardcore has the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup event.
Right.
That was in tribute to a star that was rising big time in the business. Your opponent's actually not listed on this site, but you've got, if you advance into the finals here, you've got some interesting competition that could be waiting for you. Here's the other qualifying matches, and if I get names wrong, I'm sorry. English is a second language to me. My first language is New Yorker. You mentioned there's a tag match. The SAT is taking on the best around, which is TJ Cannon and Bruce Maxwell. Rich Swann is taking on the 2006 Shane Shamrock winner and a former Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup performer. Your buddy from CZW Ruckus is in. Sammy Callahan is going to take on Chris Dickinson. Bobby Shields is taking on Tommaso Ciampa. I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong. And if I read this right, Ryan McBride might not be in the best shape of his life that night anyway, because he's got an MCW Heavyweight Championship match against Patrick Brink. It also leads into this. Are you a fan of a match like this, the scramble match, where it's like six, seven, eight guys, and you know, let's get it on and get it over with?
I am a fan of those kind of matches. I love organized chaos. But you know what just hit me? Remember when WWE did that thing back in the day where it was like, I think it was like WrestleMania 10. Oh wow, WrestleMania 10 and now Shane Shamrock 10. Maybe that's the correlation. Remember they did Brett versus Brother, and then they had to do, and they did Lex versus Yoko, and then wasn't it Brett needed suitable competition so that he worked once before so that he was the same amount of tired?
Yep, with Lex Luger involved in there too.
That must be what they're doing. That's what they're doing with McBride, because if McBride comes into the finals fresh, he has the upper hand on all five guys, doesn't he?
Could be that way, yeah.
Now that he has a title defense, he'll come into that match with one match under his belt the same way I will, and everyone else will, so we're all the same amount of fatigue.
Yeah, the folks in our chat room, one of the folks is actually filling everybody in on who Shane Shamrock was, and I apologize for not doing my research properly on it, because I didn't expect to go in depth on who he was. He was the former MCW light heavyweight champion, and the next night he actually passed away. You can go to MarylandWrestling.com. There is an offshoot to the Shane Shamrock event there. Also on that event, you're going to have Team Macton, the Hit Squad, Mickey James will be there. Put in a plug for us to get her on our show, because our producer, Sir Rockin, has been trying to get her on this show, Adam Russell Talk Radio. Tommy Dreamer is going to be there. Kevin Eck, a contributor that we've had on our show from the Baltimore Sun, is involved in this. And apparently it's like MCW's version of WrestleMania, some of the folks in the room are asking. It looks like a very interesting event that we wish that
Do you mind if I ask the chat room their opinion on something?
Go ahead, ask away.
I'm trying to just, you know, keep in mind I'm gay. I think of things like this. You know, I need help picking out my outfit, people. What do I wrestle in? So I wrestle in, I have the white tights, I have the red tights, I have blue tights, and then I have the old Backseat Boys pants that I retired, the brick silver pants. They're kind of dirty, just because, you know, they're so delicate, you can't really, like, wash them too much. But, I mean, what do you think? You think I should, since I'm sort of representing Trent, maybe I should wear the Backseat Boys outfit one last time? You know what I mean? I don't know. Or maybe Backseat Boys outfit in one match, and then if I make it to the finals, I'll wear something else. I don't know. What do they think? Do they have any thoughts?
Big time fan says Backseat Boys pants. Missy Sampson is saying wrestle in the white tights with the A on them. He wore at Acid Fest. Another person is saying yes, the Backseat Boys outfit for one match works. This event actually starts at 6 o'clock.
Ask him which pair of tights fits better around the crotch.
Really, wait now. Well, Missy may know the answer to that, or maybe not. I don't know.
Missy was thinking. No, I'm kidding. But I'm gonna wear the Backseat Blues pants at least for one of the matches. I think to really honor Trent. Maybe I'll do that if I make it to the main.
Yeah. Someone wants to know if you are gay, then why don't you have pink tights? That's interesting.
Because I'm masculine. That's why. I'm masculine. Yeah. I'm a stereotypical gay.
You're not walking out like a Lando Jordan.
Listen, I can still tell that guy I can still whoop his ass, bang every female relative in his family, okay, and still be, what? I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. You're doing great. It is this weekend, the Shane Shamrock Memorial Cup. You can go to MarylandWrestling.com. The event is held at the Green Room. I found out from their website I was wrong. The doors are at 6. The show is at 7. I believe.
I thought it was a special start time of 6. I guess I was wrong. I guess so, too.
We know Walsh has a website that he should deserve some pub because we wanted him to be here tonight, but we apologize. We had a mix-up in the timing here. If you're sitting there going, I want to know who this guy is, go to mattwalshtraining.com, all one word, no spaces. The biggest question, no big-time fan, he is not gay. Mr. Walsh is known as Mr. Straight Philadelphia, if you're just joining us here in the interview.
He's straight and he's taken, so.
Ah.
Yeah, he's got a girl.
Now the other big question is, I know you have a Facebook page that we'll mention in a minute. I know you have a Twitter account, which I don't, nor will I ever have one, because I'm nowhere near. No, I do not, and I'm nowhere near cool enough to have one. Is there a Trent? Is there a Johnny Casimir website anywhere around? Do you have one, or is that in the works anywhere?
No, not anymore. I don't know. I just use the Facebook. You can just search Johnny Casimir, or you can search Vanilla Man Candy, and we have those on Facebook, and then on MySpace, it's myspace.com/Johnny Casimir Online. Matt Walsh is the same thing, but /Matt Walsh Online. And then on Twitter, I'm just /Johnny Casimir or @Johnny Casimir, whatever. But I usually try to Twitter a couple times a day, and I'm always on Facebook. I'm like in love with it. I just found Facebook in February. I never even was on it before then, so it's still kind of new to me. You know, every event I've ever run in my life, which has been hundreds, you know, I always go out of my way promoting it and make up thousands of flyers and do all kinds of stuff, radio interviews, et cetera, et cetera. You know, for the Acid Fest, we just put out a couple posts on Facebook and Twitter, and that was it, and we packed that building. I mean, imagine if we would have gotten flyers and gone around the city and just gotten everyone there that then would have wanted to go. I mean, there were so many people in the city that did not know about this event because we were all in mourning ourselves. We didn't have time to go out and walk the pavement day after day after day. We just didn't have it in me. You know, I still don't have my sleep schedule on. But my friends probably can't stand listening to me say it anymore. It's been 6 weeks almost since he died, and I have not had a good night's sleep since. It's been an hour here, 2 hours here, 2 hours there. I can't stay asleep anymore.
Wow.
And it's just my food, my eating schedule's screwed up. I haven't been at the gym as much as I should be. It's just one of those things where it's just hard to get motivation. You know, my other best friend died in September. My two best friends in the world were taken from me in 9 months. The guys I can call at any time of night, that I can always confide in, that I can talk about absolute bullshit, nothing, and they'll still be interested, you know. And I lost that in my life. And it's not easy, man. You know, it's just not easy. And, yeah, it's just, you know, thank God for people like Matt Walsh and, you know, my buddy Joe Attell, who's an up-and-coming wrestling star. You know, so, thank God for my wrestling family, because I don't know where I'd be without them. You know, the PWI 500 came out today, or at least some of them were announced today. Me and Matt were both in it. I was really happy for Matt that he was in it for the first year. He was number 332. What's funny is me and Trent, most tag teams are, when they're in it, are in it near each other. It's not like they're going to put one tag team member in the top 10 and the other in the 400s. It just doesn't happen. So they always put you within, like, you know, 20 spots from each other. So what I suspect happened was that they gave me Trent's spot and gave Matt my spot, but I don't know. I could be wrong. I think I was 319. Matt's 332, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, that just came out today. And oh, wow. I am actually ranked, I'm ranked as a homosexual wrestler. I'm actually the only ranked homosexual on there, I think. Unless Canyon's still ranked, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think he was active in the business before he passed away. Someone wanted to know, since you are a part of this event and is a part of Maryland Championship Wrestling, is this a one-shot deal with MCW, or can you see yourself becoming a part of the company?
Well, I mean, me and Trent were there for years. We used to wrestle all the shows. Dan McDevitt, the owner, had called me and Trent just 2 months before Trent died and said he wanted to bring us back full-time and yada, yada. And, you know, just as we were about to go back, Trent died. And it was just like one thing after another, and it just sort of didn't happen. But I know he was planning on bringing us in. Now, if he's going to want Vanilla Man Candy, if he's going to want just Johnny Cashmere, I have no idea. To be honest with you, and I don't want to sound rude, I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity. But it doesn't matter to me if I stay wrestling there or not. You know what I mean? It's a hike. I like staying local nowadays, unless I'm in a plane, you know, going to Boston next week for three matches or four matches, and then I think I'm in L.A. the end of the month in August for a couple matches. So my bookings have gone up, and Maryland's a great place to work. I would love to stay there. But I'm just to the point in my career where it's like, great. If I get it, great. If not, oh well. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be there nervous, like, oh, my God, I need to get a spot here. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just past that. I don't know. I used to get excited. I'm just jaded now.
And now, I have to ask this because once again, it's another one of those my wife wanted to ask because she's like, he's an LMT. I got to ask this because in her youth, before carpal tunnel attacked her, she did that as well. What services do you actually offer? Do you do shiatsu? Do you do what particular techniques can folks in the Philadelphia area or your location obtain from you?
I am located. My studio is near Broad Street and Pine Street in Center City, Philadelphia. I'm open usually Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 5, and then I try to do at least one weekend a month. I also have a spot in Northeast Philly that I do my, that I use as a studio. I do, you know, basic full body, deep tissue, hand and foot, pressure point, head, neck, and skull. Basically, I do, you know, a lot with the circulation, a lot with, you know, helping get your blood flow into, areas that it's not normally in, and, you know, removing lactic acid buildup in people's muscles, stuff like that, you know, making sure that they understand how to maintain a healthy back too, you know. I mean, you go and you get a massage, and then when you leave, it's real easy to just mess your back right up again, you know what I mean? So I try to get into preventative medicine, any of my massage patients. A lot of the clients ask me for personal training. I refer them to Matt. Matt's clients ask for massages. He refers them to me. So we have a good thing going with that. Plus the Facebook, since Trent died, my Facebook went from 1,200 friends to over 3,000 friends in a month. So that's a good place for me to advertise. I advertise on a bunch of websites. I advertise locally. I'm getting a good clientele. So it's something that I can finally do full-time. It's supporting me. I charge $125 for 50 minutes, $85 for 30, and $200 for 60. I look at it like this. I have a bad back. I got to be down there for 90 minutes. You're going to pay for it. That's how I look at it. But, you know, I enjoy it. I get to meet some great people. I've always been a spiritual person, and for me it's like the laying on of hands. it's healing in its most basic form, and I like that. It's just something I enjoy, and I'm good at it. And I assume your wife is too. Does she do it like me? Is she private, or does she work for a?
She was private and occasionally had an office, but like I said, carpal tunnel took her out of the business. And it's an inherited. She claims, oh, it's inherited from my mom. She had it too. And I'm like, you can't inherit carpal tunnel, can you?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I know I crack my knuckles a lot. I'm gonna have arthritis when I get older.
Yeah, I hear that all the time in my house. Stop cracking your back. Stop cracking your neck. Stop cracking your knuckles. You're going to be walking around hunched over like Stu Hart or James Coburn, arthritis. And I'm like, I'm not going to be that bad.
I've been watching a lot of comedy online. Lewis Black has been cracking me up, and some classic Rodney Dangerfield and Rich Little. I mean, this stuff go on my YouTube and just check out the comedy. You'll piss yourself, man. Some of the things you just said reminded me of it. The some of the things Lewis Black comes out with, man, it just his thoughts on life. I would love to be a Lewis Black type character in wrestling and just get on the microphone and just rant about what pisses me off about everybody and everything. I would love that. It would be such a fit for me.
Would you have ever trained one of your kids to be like a Dennis Leary type, come out and call everybody assholes and everything,
that's not something you can train somebody to do. They either have that personality or they don't. You know, no one sat down Dennis Leary and said, we're going to make a wise ass out of you. He just was a wise ass, you know. And you just sort of get when the students come to you, you sort of look at them and you watch them in real life and you think, what do they have that I need to turn the volume up on? Like, what do they already have that I can tap into and magnify it so that it's their good trait? And you have to do that based on the individual. Not just, you don't just say to them, okay, here, I'm going to pull the thing out of the hat. Okay, magician. Here, you're going to be a magician gimmick, so do the best you can with it. No, you look at the person and you think, well, if I was a fan sitting in the audience and I looked at this guy, what's going to make me believe that he can hurt a person?
Right.
Right?
One of the folks that emailed radio@onlinewellwrestling.com, I meant to ask this earlier, and I apologize. In your career at shows or when you, in your youth, possibly watched WWE or TNA, what was the dumbest gimmick that you ever witnessed in person or watching the TV shows that you sat there going, how in the name of all human creation did that ever get on TV or booked on this show that I'm working?
Do you mean on TV or on indies?
Overall, I think is what they were asking.
I remember the night me and Trent were backstage at WWE was the night that Edge and Lita did their live sex demonstration in the ring. And I remember looking around at the kids and the parents holding their eyes and the kids leaving. And I just remember thinking, like, what? How low class. Like, who does that? I was disgusted. I mean, they were just, you know, Edge and Lita were performing sexual positions and, you know, in underwear. I mean, it was racy. I mean, I'm sitting there like, whoa, you know, and kids do still watch this. Whether they're up at 11 on TV to watch it or not remains to be seen, but they're in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just remember feeling dirty that day. Like, ugh, I just accepted a pay from these people. And hung it on my wall, probably, right?
That was another question that was asked in our chat room earlier that I unfortunately passed over, and I apologize. You guys, as Backseat Boys, I believe, did some WWE dark matches, or maybe you didn't. What was that experience like, the dark match experience dealing with that situation, especially for people that are sitting out there that are indie wrestlers that are going, what's that like? I always wanted to know. Can you shed any light into that?
I'm not familiar with the question. What was exactly you're asking me? I'm sorry.
Did you guys ever do dark matches for WWE, and what was the experience like?
Yeah, we went there to do a dark match. It was supposed to be me and Trent, and then I opted to not even do it. I said, no, I'm not. I don't want to do the dark match, I said. And Trent did it with someone else tugged with him. We were sent up there just to be extras, and I remember saying to Rob Feinstein, who sent me, Rob, I'm not in any way, shape, or form ready for this. I'm not in any shape. I'm not ready to get in the ring. I've been waiting my whole life to wrestle in front of these agents, and now I get the call when I'm not ready, and I've been, you know, out of shape and yada yada. And I said, I'll go up there as long as you can guarantee me that they're not going to make me wrestle. And he said, no, they just need extras. I said, okay. So I go up there, and of course it's, hey, Cashmere, get your outfit on. We're going to watch you wrestle. And I just was like, oh. So I went and put my outfit on, got in the ring. I did a few things, and then I left. I got out. I just didn't feel it. And I would rather them not see anything than see me out there half-assed. So that's what I did. Stupid mistake. Probably the dumbest move I ever made in my life. But whatever. You live with it.
On that note, he's been here for an hour and a half, and we appreciate him being here. We're going to let him go ahead and go, at least in a second or two. Stay with us after the break. We're going to take it a break here. Don't forget, MarylandWrestling.com is the way to find out about the Shane Shamrock event. Definitely look him up on Facebook. You can look up Johnny Cashmere or Vanilla Man Candy. Find out when they're coming to a town near you. And we want to thank Johnny Cashmere for being a part of this event and opening up to us. Coming up after the break, we are going to delve into, if you've been watching MTV2 the last couple weeks, Lucha Libre USA Masked Warriors. We'll get into that and update you on some upcoming guests on our show. We're going to be right back here on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestlers today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy.
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry.
Candice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
So, every day I get all these emails here at CindySin.com. Let me read you the latest one I got. Dear Cindy, Cindy, I just wanted to say you are such an awesome person. And, wait, Rock, didn't I tell you to stop emailing me? Oh, this isn't from Rock. This is from someone named Steve. Anyway, if you have any questions about dating, relationships, or sex, email me today by going to my website, CindySin.com.
Hey guys, Maverick here, the host of the only show where it's okay to basically say,
Umaga in Samoan means shriveled up monkey penis.
Now I know what you're thinking. Why do I come on here talking about being a genius when I have so many problems with my own show? Well, it's simple, folks. I'm Maverick. I'm not Albert Einstein, for God's sakes. But if you're looking for a show with outlandish opinions of wrestling and the WWE, TNA, and the NorCal indie scene, then tune in to Running the Ropes, Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What up, Matt?
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah, this is somebody doing a really bad impression of Macho Man Randy Savage telling you to snap in to Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh, yeah, dig it!
Thank you so much, Johnny Casimir, for being with us here on All in World of Wrestling Radio. Thank you for sticking around with us here for this programming that we do here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can log on to wildtalkradio.com to find out other shows that are on this network that we'll mention at the end of the show as well. If you're in our chat room, Missy Sampson is still in there. She will possibly be talking to us in the next few weeks, especially with Wrestling Superstar, Women's Superstars Uncensored having events in the next couple weeks. We want to talk about a group that's actually going to be a part of this show at this time next week. The folks on MTV2, it's an event called Lucha Libre USA Masked Warriors. If you live in the West Coast area, next Saturday at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas, baby, you can come and be a part of one of their tapings, and we'll get into that with our guest next week. We do have the man. He is formerly known in the industry as Mark Jindrak. He has reinvented himself in Mexico and is known in that promotion as Marco Corleone. He will be here next week thanks to the folks at Lucha Libre USA Masked Warriors. We do possibly have a second guest coming on, but I may have friends listening from other places, and I don't want to give it away to them right now because they may try to steal them, and you're not going to steal it. Mace is sticking around to join us here. He has watched at least the first episode of this event. Being that he's in Australia, it's a little difficult for him to get to it.
A lot less legal.
Right. The second week of the show this past week, we got the reasoning behind Liz Mark Jr. jumping Marco Corleone's well-endowed buddy Solid and jumping Supernova. We also found out the mystery man that had joined in the attack last week with Liz Mark Jr. His name is Sadistico. Another masked man. They were part of the opening round match on the show for a tag tournament that they're doing. They took out Charlie Malice and Supernova. Relic, the former TNA star who you know in America as John, I believe that's Johnny Stromboli from WWF and WCW, was also in that promotion. He was a part of a mixed match with the Technicos and Rudos and the Minis that had a Mysterio Cito gentleman, a Lujo Esquire, and Ogantos. I'm horrible with these names. At least I don't have to do crazy Japanese names. That'll be next week. We'll get into that.
Have some tequila, Alan. It'll help.
Absolutely. The other thing that I noticed on this show, and Mace will at least watch the initial show, is that they're going after the Arizona immigration law that passed that you have to have IDs and this and that. The former ROH star John Walters has been reinvented under the name of RJ Brewer, who is basically saying that he is the son of the governor of Arizona, and he's doing Pro USA and Anti-Lucha Libre events, and he actually lost to this one. I didn't know this one until I actually went and researched it on the AAA website and the CMLL sites, that he lost to a gentleman named Magno under this rule. It's illegal, it's a DQ if you pull off the mask of a Lucha Libre star. But in great tradition of Eddie Guerrero, Magno cheated big time because he pulled off his own mask and threw it at Brewer. And next thing you know, the ref's calling for the bell. I've become a fan of this product, and not because they're coming on the show next week. I think it's neat to see wrestling back on MTV. That's not a 30-minute edited fest. You've at least seen the first episode, Mace. What are your thoughts on this show?
Well, I've been a big watcher of AAA for a number of years now. Former listener to many a radio show that I basically palled around with in the chat room, Santo Loco. He got me into the whole AAA and Mexican Lucha Libre scene. It's been a good show, but I have a little bit of a problem with it. I'm finding the guys aren't sort of as quick as they are in Mexico. They seem to be working the same style, but at a slower pace, maybe for the American audience to catch up. Also, the announcers drove me insane, and you know, if I can handle the Mexican announcers most of their for these type of shows, these guys must really be Ibernas.
Yeah, I believe the names are Nigel Sherrod and Lalo Gonzalez.
Yeah, something like that.
That's who they are.
Yeah. No offense to the guys, they do a brilliant job. I don't know this. There's something about their voices that seems to burn my ears a little bit. And the last thing, I don't know where this comes from seeing was it WSX on the same spot. If you remember, they were also on MTV2, and that was highly edited and everything else. And also, you know, that program featuring the women that we don't like to mention on this show. I sort of got a feeling from just the crowd reaction and the way the crowd sort of was during the matches and everything, that we're getting the same type of style just with a bigger budget. But other than that, like, the actual wrestling in the ring is absolutely brilliant. Yeah, you know, right. That's a good exposure for Lucha Libre in the US and, well, for me and here in Australia, because I know how to get this type of stuff.
And have you, in between trips to the ER, have you checked this out, Spug, or are you sitting there going, nah, it's WSX, gone Mexican, I don't care?
I have watched CMLL and AAA through various feeds on the interwebs for a while. I've always been a big fan of traditional Mexican wrestling, only because I always been attracted to the lore behind it. So I have not got to see what MTV has put out yet, but I am very interested to see it when I get the chance.
And as I said, we will have one of their stars on next week. Marco Corleone, the former Mark Jindrak, will join us. I'm working on possibly having one of their producers on, because as we had mentioned a few weeks ago, we had Kevin Kleinrock on, who was involved in Wrestling Society X, and that was the first thought that flashed in my head. This event is actually not only seen on MTV2, but it's also on the Spanish language version of MTV. I believe it's called Tres. Is the way their press releases are sending it out there. And that was one of my first thoughts was, oh, crap, this is going to be another 30-minute thing. If you have a DVR ability on whoever your provider is, be it Bright House, Time Warner, Comcast, Nology, whoever, there's a 30-minute show that they did outlining what exactly was going to be Lucha Libre, Lucha Libre USA Masked Warriors. And it looks like they will be billing to have a heavyweight title and a tag title here. And the show also seemed to mention Jack Evans, seemed to mention Conan. The Charlie Malice character, the first thought when he came through the ring, I was going, I was like, hey, it's Vampiro's cousin. He looks really good.
When I saw that guy came out, I immediately thought Damien 666.
Yeah, I think Damien and Halloween are a part of this promotion as well, because there's in the minis area, besides LA Park being involved, there's a mini park, and I believe there's also a Pequeno Halloween. I'm not 100% sure.
Wait,
they've had
wait.
Some.
Wait.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yes, Spug. There are.
failed to tell me that there were midgets.
Yeah, they're called the minis.
I am so in.
That'll get you there. Along. Hey, I'll get Missy Sampson there. She's still in a Wild Talk Radio chat room, and she's like, midgets rule. She's totally in. So definitely tune in next week to that event. We'll hopefully have them on. We're going to do some indie news here. If you're a wrestler that's looking for somewhere to work, Jersey All Pro Wrestling sent this around to the folks that they're happy to announce. They're currently seeking new talent as we have begun our 13th year promoting events. Both male and female talent are encouraged to apply for solo tag team reps, valets, managers, ring announcers, talent interviews that you can email your online stuff to japwbooking@aol.com. No files will be downloaded. We only accept links. Make sure you give them your name, location, contact number, and email. You can also do a P.O. Box, JAPW P.O. Box 902 in Bayonne, New Jersey, 07002. And I want to bring, I got to bring up, Rock, if you got the music ready, bring them on here. We've got a mini Bryan Danielson update.
This is Bryan Danielson.
The final countdown.
Best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, he's still not signed anywhere, kids. The 90-day clock is still ticking. We believe we're around day 41 or 42, and if we tabulated this right, we could be wrong that he's supposedly going to be released in his 90-day deal by September 11th, which is kind of convenient that ROH has a show in New York City. Bryan Danielson was recently part of Evolve Wrestling, which you can check out at EvolveWrestling.com. That is Gabe Sapolsky and Sal Iommi's promotion. Bryan Danielson defeated Bobby Fish this past Friday in Union City at what is called a brutal contest that saw each man level the other with vicious kicks and unbelievably stiff strikes. Following the match, being interviewed by a frequent contributor on this show, Lenny Leonard, Danielson challenged Japanese sensation Munemori Sawa to an event coming close to Evolve 5. The other reason we wanted to mention him is because when we had Jimmy Rave on a couple weeks ago on Rave Night, which you can find in our archives at onlineworldofwrestling.com, Bryan Danielson will be in Warner Robins, Georgia this coming weekend working for Rampage Pro Wrestling. You can go to rampageprowrestling.net for details on that event. I had the chance this past weekend to actually get out and go to an event, which is something you have to do besides sitting at home going, well, I would have done this different, I would have that done different. Get off your butt and support indie wrestling. Mace knows it from wrestling in Australia. Spug knows it from wrestling and it all over the Midwest. Missy Sampson knows it from being a part of it. Get out there and support these guys. I was a part of a show this past weekend, a charity event, which all this group shows are charity events. It's a group called Wrestling for a Cause. You can go to wrestlingforacause.org. They're Florida-based, unfortunately. They may venture into Georgia. I'm not 100% sure. The Iceman Buck Quartermain, who was a performer in TNA wrestling for a little while. He did some WCW spots. He's been on the Florida scene for years. The Modern Revolution, Steve Madison, who was a guest here a couple weeks ago, is also involved in that. This past weekend, it was excellent to see almost 500 people come out to support a Temple Terrace, Florida baseball team that had the marquee Bruce Santee involved. Jerome Hendricks was there. The Latin Sensation, Latin Lover. He's changed his name. He's not the Latin Sensation anymore. He's upgraded himself to the Latin Lover. Ricky Romeo was there. Bruce Santee actually got in the ring with former WWE and ECW star Big Vito, and Bruce didn't get the Big Vito he wanted. He wanted the Italian tough guy Big Vito that you see, and no, he got the toughest guy ever to wear a dress. And that building, I couldn't believe, my jaw just went like, this place just went nuts.
Say what, hold on. You're saying Big Vito, the toughest man. I thought you meant Perry Saturn for a second there.
No. Well, is Perry wrestling anywhere?
Perry disappeared, what, nearly 8 years ago. Nobody has heard anything from him.
Yeah, you know, he may show up on August 8th. You never know. We'll be on August 8th. Or at least I will be a part of this network's wonderful programming called Wrestle Talk Radio. And how was it having just Tim and you on that show Sunday night, Mace? Was it Boar Fest, or were you guys having a blast?
Well, it was a very different show with Tim and myself. So it was the Canadian and the Australian. And we actually had most of our female listeners decide to call in to join us on the air. And yeah, a very different show, very, I guess, quieter. And I had to pick up all the leader jokes and the rude jokes that Spokes usually does.
We're still working on trying to get her on the show. I emailed one of the, found her email address through a promoter or something, and I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome, get Lita on, and that would definitely get Will and Omega to finally go, yeah, we're gonna go on OWW on that night. So, as we slowly go to wrapping this event up, I want to thank everyone that's been in the chat room all night long, and it's rare that we get someone like Missy Samson coming on in our chat room. We've had some folks when we had the Snake Master Abu Nadine on that popped in and popped out but didn't mention themselves. I know Scott Hudson said he was in the room for a little while ago. So we thank her. We thank everyone that's been a part of this event. And you can podcast us if you enjoyed what you heard tonight, or you got some friends that are sitting at home going, I got nothing to podcast anymore. What should I put on? Tell them, hey, Trent Acid's former partner, Johnny Kazmir, was on for an hour and a half long interview, and he kicked ass big time. You can go to Online World of Wrestling, onlineworldofwrestling.com or owwradio.com, and you can find out links. We have links through Click Wrestle. We have links through the iTunes store. We're working on a couple other new links that were a part of this show that somehow got lost in the shuffle during the email change of 2010 that happened. And you can't have your email address back, kids. Sorry, I don't own it. Brad Dykens does, and I'm not holding your contacts hostage. I'm not going to release them for $1 million or anything like that. And you can definitely enjoy this show, the previous archives. We had Rob Conway on recently. We've had Roderick Strong on here before. As I mentioned, next week is Marco Corleone, Mark Jindrak. We do have a second guest possibly in the works. Bill DeMott is possibly going to be on in 2 weeks. We're trying to nail that one down. Missy Samson can possibly be on there. I believe there is a Bret Hart archive interview where I think he told one of the producers to shut up, but I wasn't there for that, so I apologize for them doing that. You guys are a part of Otaku tomorrow night. Give us an idea of what we're going to experience. Are we talking Comic-Con on your show or what, guys? Because I keep seeing these movie trailers. You're not going to talk about Tron Legacy or Red or any of these movies that are coming out of Comic-Con right now, like Scott Pilgrim versus the World? None of that's coming up on your show?
We'll probably talk about that, but we're going to get the recap from Omega from MetroCon.
That was here in Orlando recently, wasn't it? Was that this past weekend in Orlando, or where was that?
I think it was in Tampa.
Oh, it was over here, really? I think
it was in Tampa. Like that.
I know we'll mention midgets at some point, so Missy Sampson, please come by and you can hear us talk midgets.
Yeah, midgets, Spider-Man, Transformers, G.I. Joe, more midgets. Inevitably, there'll be midgets.
Will there be midget Transformers?
Yes, probably. Inevitably, more midgets.
And, we recently found out that our normal gatekeeper, Cindy Sin, is not going to be with us this Thursday night. She wasn't here tonight, and she is missed. DJ Stein will be taking over the airwaves on this Thursday. Believe Cindy is back, next Sunday? Next Thursday? Is she gonna be a part of CB this weekend? She's back next week, Thursday. Awesome. Maverick, if you were in our chat room tonight, He has a very nice show on here. Missy wants to know, are you guys going to talk about Jem and the Misfits possibly on your show? Wow, that's a throwback there.
If she wants to come on our show live and talk about Jem and the Misfits, we will talk about it.
That's awesome. You heard it, Missy Sampson. Tomorrow night, is it 9 o'clock you guys heard? 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, get back on this site.
You could be on for the entire 2 hours and talk about Jem and the Misfits. But you have to call in live.
Exactly.
The show where we plan absolutely nothing can go on for hours upon hours. I do remember one show, I believe it was one of the first that I was on, where we talked about nothing for 4 hours and we had a ball.
That show went on forever and it was awesome.
and there were bathroom breaks and food breaks. It was like being a part of a jury. Maverick is a part of this network, even though these guys aren't big fans of him, but we still do the courtesy of mentioning him. He has a show on this network called Running the Ropes. It's on Fridays at 6. Here is our CB radio plug. The continued plea from Rob Parks to have Mel Gibson as the new co-host of CB radio will take place midnight-ish on this network. And this coming Sunday night, back at 10 p.m., will be Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, with Smug. Yes, Tatanka, if you missed it last week, guys, he is rechristened Spug. He is now known as Smug in certain circles. Also Omega, maybe me, maybe not. I don't know what's going on for next Sunday yet. Just out of curiosity, did you guys do the WCW event this past Sunday, Mace, or did that get bypassed?
This past Sunday, we did forego the usual quick hits and great debate due to myself and Tim being the only ones on the show at the time. So that will be going on this week with, I believe, is Kevin Nash going up against the Giant, and Scott Steiner going up against Big Van Vader in our great debate. So definitely tune in to hear our thoughts as we try to find out who, in our opinion, is the greatest WCW champion of all time.
All right. I want to thank both of these gentlemen for joining us here tonight. I want to thank Sir Rockin for being the most awesome producer in the business, even though he's abused by other people on other networks. He won't be abused. WildTalkRadio.com is the site that you can find out all the information on. If you want to do what I do, because I'm lucky. I was in the right place at the right time. I know these guys hate that I say this every damn week, but I am lucky as hell that Jason Deadrich and Brad Dykens give me another week and go, all right, you're doing great, kid. Get out there and knock it out of the park one more time. I'm like Metallica. I'm a fan of the business, and this could be you. You can contact Wild Talk Radio and see if they want to have you as a part of this this great channel that now includes DJ Stein, which is pretty cool. And once hockey season comes back, you'll have Fire on Ice. I may be a part of that if Tim has his way. The history of is been brewing for weeks and weeks and weeks. With Tim Stein, that'll be coming up, and that show will entail a history of rock musicians, concerts, legendary concerts, comedians, that kind of thing. So next week will definitely be interesting with Marco Corleone here. We also will honor the request of Spug. He has asked for week after week. He's like, you played Depeche Mode on your show, dude, but you never played us one song. So in honor of Spug and his gallstones, we want to reach out and touch faith with a song off the Violator album. It is Personal Jesus. Thank you so much for everybody being here. If you didn't like the show, hey, I'm just making this up as I go. And I promise you, oh, you'd like to give a shout-out to the Monday Night Cough Gag. I can't do it. I did it earlier. I thanked them for Scott Hudson being on here. So let Dave Gahan sing there, Sir Rockin. Thanks so much. WildTalkRadio.com, OWWRadio.com. Thanks for coming.
Christmas Eve to